Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein here in the Yeshiva Shel Maila. And it's the week right after Shavuos, Kabbalah Satira. So we're going to be speaking about a machlokes that changed the way we learn Torah. A machlokes that went on started around 250 years ago and will go till Mashiach comes. And that is the machlokes between the Hasidim, and particularly the way it was vocalized by the Balatanians in Sefer HaTanya, Perikei, and the Nefesh HaChaim in Perek Daled. What is the pshat in Torah Lishma? How do we explain practically our chiyuv of Talmud Torah? What does Lishma mean? And I think it's had a great impact. And you could disagree with me here, but look at the way Hasidim, they learn Torah, they put on their hats, their jackets, they learn it like it's a type of a tefillah. The way the Balatanya says it's listabik. Many others of the Chassidim. It starts with the Yoshe Divrei Emesh, and then you have the Nefesh HaChaim and the Goyin, and they said Torah Lishma means L'shem Torah. It's for the knowledge of Torah itself. It's like to know Torah, there is no greater cause, which is why they take off their jackets, they roll up their sleeves, they sweat, they argue, they get totally into it. How is it affected? I mean, look at the world today. On one hand, if it's a type of Dveikus and Hashem, so then it's not, many would say the impetus was not to the clarity of understanding, which is why you could disagree with me, but if you would, let's say, look at over the last 200 years, the Halacha Sfarim, probably 80% of them were by Litvisha, right? I'm not talking about on Torah, on Chumash, I'm talking about not in Drush, but in Halacha, 80%. And on the other hand, before the war, I mean, almost everybody you know in Lakewood, Mir, and Ponovich, 80% of them come from Hasidish homes that sort of became, they were re-litvicized post-war because nobody was 5% from, 8% from, maybe 10, 90% went fry. So the Chassidim didn't produce the great scholarship, but they remained, fervent Yidden, and the Litvaks produced great Talmidei Chachamim, but unfortunately their loss factor was huge. I think that it could possibly have to do with this was Torah about Dveikus and Hashem. So we have a fabulous, this was just from the editor, this is nobody else's opinion, just mine, you may disagree. So who do we have? We have a fantastic lineup of guests. We have Rabbi Yeshua Hartman. He wrote 20 volumes on the Maral, all the new Marals you see with the fabulous Pirish on the bottom is Rabbi Yeshua Hartman. So who is better from London? Who is better equipped to talk on a drush like this? And then he's also a Talmud of a great Ramesha Shapiro. We have the Chabad Rav of Lakewood, Rav Nachum Greenwald, considered one of the great experts in Chabad to explain the Balatanya. And they will both agree, I'm going to give you a heads up, that it is a machlokes, and they'll try to explain both Pshatim, Shitas, and the machlokes. Rav Hartman in particular will explain more the Shita of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Nachum Greenwald will explain the Balatanya as well as Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And then we will have Reb Yitzchak Felda, two Rabbanim, both very big Talmidei Chachamim and Darshanim, who think that, no, they really don't argue. And that is Reb Yitzchak Feldheim, one of the great Balei Machshava in America. He's lectures all over when Aish wants to send somebody to a college campus to take on the children, the biggest questions, the biggest shailas, they send Reb Yitzchak Feldheim. You'll hear this articulate Lamdin. And then we have from Baba, Reb Shalom Greenstein, he will explain again in his way why it is not a machlekes. We four very different opinions, fascinating and historically powerful machlekes. I would like to say a short vart on the parsha. This is from the great Teres Moshe, the great Chassam Sofer. Gershin Kehasu Merari. This is the week of Nasei. Nasei is Reish B'nei Gershin Gamheim, Gamheim. Ram Seifer says there was Gershin, Kahas, and Merari. He says, Kahas is Miloshin, Lo Yik Hasamim, a gathering of nations. When Klal Yisrael gathers together, and they're in their, their Betachwisam, their Begamosam, their Dal Artsam, they're all the Shvatim together. And who are the children? There's Amram. What does that mean? Amram, a nation that's high. Klal Yisrael is betachlisa, it's beautiful. Maybe sometimes you go to Eretz Yisrael today, you feel like that. And what's Gershom? Gera Yisi Beres Nachriya. When Klal Yisrael's on the run, we, you know, for the last 2,000 years in Gullus, sometimes people forget, but we are in Gullus, and we are strangers, and we are guests here, right? We're guests. Maybe not in America, we don't feel it so much, but certainly you go to Europe, you go to France, afraid people are afraid to walk around in a yarmulke. All of Europe, we're guests. And then there's Merari. Merari means the bad times. The children of Merari are machli and mushi, broken, sick, disheveled, distraught, destroyed. So what does he say? He says about the children of Merari, he says, by Gershon it says, Nasa Yisraish b'nei Gershon. By Kehas, the same thing. Nasa Yisraish b'nei Kehas. Lift them up. Show them their importance, their value. By B'nai Merari, it says B'nai Merari L'mishpachaisam. It doesn't say Nasai. Dr. Samsaifi, you know why? Because the Jews who survived, the Yidin who kept the flag burning, kept the flag aloft, kept the torch burning during the times of Merari, they don't need Nasai. There's nobody higher than them. There's nobody more exalted than them. And why is it something relevant to us? Because we all know some Holocaust survivors, sadly, in my shoulder are none left. And they're very old already. I mean, the Holocaust was over, you know, in almost 70 years ago. So there's very few survivors. But we have to remember that these people are the greatest generation. If they hadn't come to America and they hadn't built yeshivas and mikvahs and kashrus, we are all standing on the shoulders of this great generation, a generation of people who, for the most part, they woke up middle of the night with nightmares, with dreams. Their jobs they held were the lowest jobs. They came here. They didn't speak the language. They weren't trained. They were B'nai Merari, Machli Yamushi. But some Sefer says they didn't need an Asiyas. They were the greatest generation. They are the greatest generation we had since Tachtat, since the Crusade, since the Churban. And I suggest if you're in a shul this week and you heard this, make sure we should be mechabed, these people who some Sefer says do not need any Nasiyas. They were betachlas. Give them an aliyah. We have to be mechabed them more than anything. Imatziah sha'ol hineka. You know what the Reb Nachman said? He said, "When you, by Sha'ol Hineko, I'm holding hands. I'm with you. These are the people we should admire in the last years of their lives. We should give kavod. We should respect. We should look at these people. They do not need Nesiyas Reish. They upheld the flame. In the zman of Machli Amushi, Sam Sofa, beautiful Teres Moshe in this week's parsha. Before we go to them, I would like to." Comment. Last week we spoke about, it's actually the last program we spoke about, the concept of how to deal with people with alternative lifestyles. And as you could imagine, we got a lot of callers. Some of them weren't very agreeable. They were quite upset. Here's a listen to this caller from New Jersey.
Yes, so thank you for returning my call. You mentioned about making fun of a Korean Baal Mum. What's the comparison? The issue is not this discussion of the mum itself. We're discussing what he does about it. We're not discussing someone who just desires a zachra. We're talking about a person who acts on his desire and is over on chayvei skila. Doesn't the words chayvei skila give you a tremble? How could a from Orthodox loyim Torah, person who's under Raglav HaSinai, a person who went to Cheder, a person who ever ate Shalom from Shabbos, how could he not hear the words Chai Ve'Skila and not have a tremble, a shudder, a titter? How can we say, how can we compare this to the Mum? We're not discussing making fun of a Mum. We're discussing making fun of people who blatantly step trample the Torah because they have desires. Desires are meant to be conquered, not to be acted upon. I'm surprised you don't understand that. Rabbi Kor discusses Avos Yisrael. He forgot the Rambam and Perek Vov, Mideus, the Rabbi Ismaimini, that says the mitzvah of Lech Bistrol only applies Re'acha Batoiru Vamitzvahs. Abu Adam Rasha She'ena Mekabel Techocha Mitzvah Sanoisei. So this person, I'm sure the Rav of the Shul, would give him Techocha for his blatant trampling on the Torah. I'm sure he gives him Techocha. And if he gives him Techocha and he does not listen, then there's a mitzvah sanoisei. There's no exceptions for gay people in this klal. A gay person also has to keep the Torah. And then the other thing is that this issue of allowing the duchen and being upset that people walk out when he duchens, if this person is a public offender, a public desecrator of the Torah, everyone has the mitzvah of techocha on him, the mitzvah of the rights of a chayef techocha on yisecha, and the shir of techocha is ad kidei hakor. So this rov has a chiyuv to mechiyach him, and whoever has a chiyuv, whoever could be moicha and doesn't, is nitzvahs be'ovim. So this is a responsibility. This is the way the tzibur is being moicha by not accepting his brichas kainim. That's a perfectly reasonable way of machoch.
He was responding to the concept that, you know, people of alternative lifestyles, there is some way. Rappaport from London said we have to have rachmanis on them. There's something, you know, they were created differently. There's a certain portion of the spectrum that are actually, that were, you know, don't have a taiva to the opposite gender, and they are created differently, and they would love to be like us, many of them, especially the yeshiva boys we spoke about. And he said they deserve our empathy, and we have no right to be mavaza them. And this person responded very, you know, angrily, and I can understand. I think it's wonderful that he responded that way, because he's obviously, oyev Hashem sinura. He's an oyev of the Rabbi Nishalim, and when somebody sees or thinks that the Kvayt Shemayim is being impugned, he reacts viscerally with anger. It's a symbol of Zira Shemayim. So I applaud our caller, but I do want to respond. You know, the Makoyer that a mitzvah l'sanoisa by a Rasha, which is actually brought in the Shulchan Aruch, is the Gemara in Psachim and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. And the Gemara says, written, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, mitzvah l'sanoisa, right? Shenemer, Yiris Hashem Sinera, right? So, but here's what's interesting. When Rashi and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch bring it, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Ratzeach and Perek Yud Gimel, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Ayin Beis. They all say that the mitzvah l'sanoisa is only after Techacha. In other words, if you mechiyach him, then it's a mitzvah l'sanoisa. It's based on a Gemara in Erechin. So nobody, no other than the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish. And the Chafetz Chaim is at the end of Sefer Avos Chesed. We'll put the Maram Akrimus on. And he brings it from Harav, Hagoyin, Hamafursim, Tzadik, Rav Voliner. I honestly hadn't heard of him before, but the Chafetz Chaim testifies to what a great Goyin and Tzadik he is. And he brings it from the Maram Lublin. He says, there is nobody who knows how to be Mechiyach Bizman Hazeh. How do you put yourself into somebody else's shoes? How can we actually, you know, get into a position to be Mechiyach means we have to empathize with the person. So the Maram Lublin brings this, and the Chazon Ish brings it l'halacha too, right? He brings l'gabi if a mumur is chayiv b'yibum, so he brings it l'chumra actually. He says there's no Russia b'zman hazeh that's mitzvah l'sanoisei. They both go b'derech echad, and the Chazon Ish brings this Chafetz Chaim l'halacha. He says because we don't know how to be mechiyach, we don't know how to empathize. And I'll tell you, and this is now I'm editing. You know, when David HaMelech is chayta, right, he has Uriah Chiti killed for Bathsheba. So Nathan HaNavi comes to him, and he gives him mussy. He says a story. He says, you know, there was a person, he had thousands of sheep, he had flocks of sheep, and he had a poor neighbor who had one sheep. And he said he coveted the sheep of his neighbor. So what did he do? He stole the sheep of his neighbor, and he killed it. And so David HaMelech stood up, and he said, that person should die. So Nathan turns to him and he says, and what did you do to the wife of Uriah Chiti? You stole his wife. So David said he sat shiva, etc. And he wrote the famous kapitel Nun Aleph, which Rabbeinu Yehuda writes is the yisoid of tshuva, etc. So I saw one of the achrayim ask a question. He says, David HaMelech was David Malka Mashiach. I mean, you're talking about the holiest of the holy. Why did Nasan HaNavi have to make up a Gansa Maisa with a man, with a sheep? He should have just told him, you know, what did you do? How did you do such an Avera? So I saw one of the Acharonim say something beautiful. He says, who could judge a person? Everybody in life has their issues. One person had a parent who berated them, who verbally abused them, who didn't appreciate. One person had a sibling who was sick, who sucked up all the energy at home. One person had parents with shalom bias. One person had a learning disability, wasn't able to concentrate. How could somebody judge somebody else? Who could judge another person? This Achron writes, he says, only one person could judge another person. And who's that? The person themselves. You could judge yourself. You know all your matzah, and inside you know whether you did the right or the wrong thing. So he said, so Nasan HaNavi concocted this whole story, so David HaMelech should stand up and yell, he did a terrible thing. He was judging himself. Only David could judge himself. So they don't say this, but I'm ad-libbing into the Chafetz Chaim and to the... But on top of that, besides the fact that it's after Echacha, which is how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Rashi, Rambam, etc., here's another way to go about it. The Maram Shek lived in the time of the Reform Movement. So the Maram Shek in the Sefer HaMitzvahs really writes something fabulous. The Maram Shek says like this. Let me share with you what he says. He says, the Pasuk says, Leisisna esachicha bilvavecha. Don't hate your brother. Right, give him teichacha, put him on the right path. That he shouldn't sin, and then it finishes. So Ram Shek in his Sefer HaMitzvah says, what's the juxtaposition of all these mitzvahs? He says it's telling you that even on a yid where there's a mitzvah l'sanaisai, like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, right? But he says the same thing, he says, at the same time, he says, in Psachim, I apologize, he says, at the same time, contemporaneously, while you hate him, you're supposed to be mekayim v'haftal areyecha kamoicha. And he said, it's not misnagid. You could love somebody and be upset at them at the same time. So he says, there could be a din of mitzvah l'sanoisei, and at the same time, the mitzvah v'haftal areyecha kamoicha. And he was obviously referring to the Reform Movement. Now, of the same, so we have here the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish go one way. They say Bechlal is not Techacha, but here we have the great Goyin from Oberland, the Maram Shik, the Talmud Dibut Hei Yediv Chasam Seifa, and who else says the same thing? The great Tanya Perik Lamed Beis. He says that the din of Aicheach. He says the din of Mitzvah L'Sanoisa. He says don't. You're not allowed to hate the person. He says Chas V'Shalom. But it's supposed to be sinner of the Rasha Bohem. Hate the sin, not the sinner. He says you have to have ahava of the Toiv Shebai, that's Ganas Bohem, and the Nitzah, he says in his beautiful Nusach, the Nitzah Tzalekus Shebetoicham, Hamachaya Nefsham Balekusai, V'v'oyre Rachmim Baliboy Alehem. You're supposed to have V'v'oyre Rachmim on the Balavera. And the same side, he says, there's a Mitzvah L'Sanaisam of the Bit Shebahem. You know, when the Baal Tanya says this lashon of l'oyre rachmim on the chayte, on the Russia, it reminds me of the story we had here on the program of Eichenstein. I've said it a few times because it's just a meiridik amaisa about the boy who they wanted to throw out of yeshiva, and they knew Rav Eichenstein, that Rav Steinman Zichron Lavracha never would allow a boy to be thrown out. So they brought him, they said, we have a boy, I forgot what he did, maybe he was a drug dealer in yeshiva, and they said, such a boy could we throw out of yeshiva, he's selling drugs. So Rav Steinman looks at the principal, and he says, what's the mother's name? What's the mama's nomen from the kin? So he says, hey, principal, how would I know the mother's name? So Rav Steinman looks at him in surprise, he says, you didn't daven for him? And you want to throw this drug dealer out of yeshiva? You didn't daven for him first? And it's so akin to this lashon of the Baal HaTanya. Yeah, this person who was born with this mum of, he has no attraction. Did we daven for him? Do we know his mother's name? So it's interesting. We have from all over the world. We have from the Litvisha, from the Chafetz Chaim in the Litta, from the Chazei Nish in Eretz Yisrael, the Marem Shik in Preshburg in Oberland, and the Tanya in Russia. They all come with one thing. Eid is no mitzvah l'sanayisay, that's how they say. And even those who say mitzvah l'sanayisay, there's still a mitzvah v'haftal l'reicha kamaycha. That means fascinating. So when we go to these people who Rabbi Rappaport said, what did he basically say? He said, we have to empathize with them. They were, you know, at this end of the spectrum, you know, how could we judge somebody who was born without a Yetzirah for the opposite gender? He says, we have to have rachmanis. Like he says, l'ayir rachmim aleim. Right, and there's a mitzvah of a haftal areicha kamaycha in such a person, and avadah is an issel of azaysay. So I think that, notwithstanding our callers, great Yerushamayim, I'm pointing out some very valid resources. We'll put them all up on our site. I do want to point out something that I think is an important chilek, though, that we know that Mashal the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Dalet brings the Chav Dalet Niduyim when you put a person in Nidui. And out of the 24, 20 of them have something in common. That's when somebody usurps the public image of Yiddishkeit. Like, we were discussing this, and somebody said to me, he said a very valid point, actually, by the Yom Tov table. And we were discussing this, and somebody said, you know, if somebody sees an Aveira done b'fahesya, and you're saying, you want to say that it's a mitzvah, but it does impact. If a child sees somebody drive up the shul and the person is mechubed, he says, oh, so you're allowed to drive? Or he sees somebody who does some other aveira and nobody says anything, it's mitzvah lava. He says, it repeatedly, it causes a mevet aga kilt in Yiddishkeit. The chaymer of an aveira becomes kal, and not only in a child's eyes, in our eyes. I think it's a very valid point. And if you look at the Chaf Dalet Niduyim, half of them are somebody who's Mavaza Talmidei Chacham. What does that mean? They show Chachma. He doesn't listen to Bezin. Somebody usurps the image of Kav Yachal, HaMechal Shem Shamayim. It's like, basically, most of them have to do with Chil Shem Shamayim. So, I don't know what Rabbi Rappaport meant, but I would just put a caveat on, and I feel strongly. I think if somebody has an alternative lifestyle because they were created that way, Chafetz Chaim says we can't empathize. We just don't understand that. It just doesn't. We don't. So what do? There's a mitzvah after Rech Kamaycha Chazon Ish to Chafetz Chaim. Like the Tanya, you can hate the bad Shabbat, you have to love the good Shabbat. The Rem Shik seems to go in the same way. But I would just add an asterisk that if b'farhesya they're doing something, that's already a different thing. What you do b'tzin is your business. But if you want to get married, you want to do something, you want to come to shul holding hands, do me a favor, this goes into the Chaf Dalet Niduyim, this goes to where it affects the tzibur at large. It's not bein adam l'makom in what you're doing anymore, but then already it enters into the realm of bein adam l'chaverei. And we also had some other calls. Listen to this caller.
Shalom Reb David. You had mentioned a story about somebody that was outright gay, and he went up to Tuchin and people went out. I may be wrong, and if I am, I apologize, but you sounded pretty compassionate to people with this issue, and you also sounded like you were pretty compassionate to somebody that actually was outright gay, whereas in other shows, you were very anti-molesters and of that nature. Well, I think the same person that suffers from these issues of attraction to the same gender, you know, that's a sickness. So I would think that the molester also has, you know, some type of sickness that's urging him or her to do such things. But that's not an excuse for taking action after doing that. In other words, you know, if the guy has issues of molesting people, well, that doesn't give him a right to do it. If he, you know, if he has the urge to do it, it doesn't give him a right to do it. So I think the same thing is, if someone has a urge or, you know what I'm saying, a desire for the same gender, it doesn't give them a right to do it. You know, just because every normal person has a, you know, a type of notion, but the way they used to made it, it doesn't give them a right to go out and be designed. The person has to control the thing. So I'm not sure why when it comes to an outright gay person, you're very compassionate to him, whereas a molester, you're very anti. I mean, I would think that they go in the same category. Either you have pity on them or you don't.
I think this person respectfully totally missed the boat. What a person does bein adam lamakim, right? And that we have, you know, either there is a mitzvah to be ayiv thing, or there is a din techacha, all we mentioned. But bein adam lachaveri, what somebody does bein adam lamakim, two consenting adults, it's none of our geschäft. What somebody, or if there is our, if you believe you can be mechiyach bezman hazeh, etc. But what somebody does berabim already, that's already bein adam lechaveira. He's impacting me. He's impacting you. He's impacting your children. And that's where I personally would draw the line. If you disagree, you call us. We'll put it on. We put on all the opinions. We try not to censor over here. Before we go to our wonderful guests, I would like to ask one or two shailas on our fabulous parsha here. I'm going to ask you a shaila, two questions, because I didn't know which one was better. The Gemara in Saita Davav says that by a Saita, if there's Eidim b'medina sayam, then you're not mashker, because it says the Eid ein ba, to which the Mishnah Melech adds on. He says Eid ein ba means even if there would be, not two Eidim, but one Eid ein ba, if there was some witness who saw what was going on in the room with the Saita and her paramour, they're not mashkeher. So the question is like this. We know that there's a concept in halacha of palgina dibura, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? Which means that somebody who was raped could be made against their rapist and palgina dibura. So the question is, by the Saita, the bile could always be made what happens with the Saita. So you always have an aid. So according to the Mishnah Lamelech, you should never ever be Mashka Saita. Okay, that's question one I'm going to ask you. And the other thing is let's talk about Saita again. Another Saita question. The Gemara says in Daf Chavav, in Saita, that if she drank and she was found that she was Toher, so she becomes blessed. If she had children who weren't handsome, they become handsome. If she had one, she has two, etc., etc., many examples. So the question is, how could we bless somebody? Because even if she was manuka, and we say, the Baal was chayshid b'ksherim, he was wrong, he suspected his wife, he never should have, okay. She was still alive on an issa d'araisa of yichad. Yichad, according to most Rishayim, is an issa d'araisa. So here we have a concept of a chayta niskar. She did an aveira, and she gets a benefit from it. So those are our two shailas for this week. They are both somewhat discussed by Achrayim, and I hope you enjoy them. So let's go to our wonderful program.
We have on the phone with us from London, Harav HaGayin Rabbi Yeshua Hartman, and anybody who's bought a maral in the last 10 years has seen the new marals with the pirush on the bottom. Rabbi Yeshua has written on almost the entire maral. It's just a masterful, incredible work. He's also the head of the Beis Medrash of London. Welcome, Rabbi Yeshua.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav David.
So, Rabbi Yeshua, we just passed the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satira, and we know that one of the great machlokes is the machlokes of the Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Dalet, with the Baal HaTanya in Perikei, and he pretty much writes in the Nefesh HaChaim that he's writing against, you know, this that the entire world seems to believe have the erroneous pshat and lishma. He says, "Ein lishma pirish dveikusay k'mayshe soivrim ata roiv ha'olam." And my Kabbalah was from when I learned in yeshiva that it was my rabbi, and that he was writing this really as a rebuttal to the Baal HaTanya's pirush of that it was dveikus. Could you give us some insight into this great machlokes?
Well, with your permission, I'm going to focus more on the Litvish side, and I'll leave the Chassidish side, in Yetz Hashem, to someone more qualified and better than myself. We'll start with the Nefesh HaChaim side. But it's definitely, you're right, that's what the Nefesh HaChaim is referring to. And also in the Sefer Malas HaTorah to Rabbi Avraham Ben Agra, on page 272 with the Madura Menukedes, He says, Lahotzi mileva ksinim, shechoshu she'inyan limud Torah lishma, hu bedveikus la'aser sichudim lemala, v'chol she'i efshar lo labo leidei midazu, harei hu bechlal limud shelo lishma. So he was even a little bit more sharp by saying leva ksinim. But again, with your permission, Rav David, I would like to focus on the Nefesh HaChaim's approach of Lishma means L'Shem Torah. So as you mentioned before, the Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Dalet in Perek Beis and onwards, he brings a few strong rayas that Limud Torah is Lishma, is Kishmoy Kenhu, for the sake of Torah itself, of understanding and going into it more, not Dveikus. One of the rayas he brings is that Dovid HaMelech asked that a Sefer Tehillim, if someone's saying Sefer Tehillim, it should be considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he's learning Negoim V'Oyhalos. That means that Dovid HaMelech saw the need to upgrade his Tehillim, that it should be like Negoim V'Oyhalos. If Torah is about Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what could be a higher Dveikus than Tehillim, which is the Ishtapchus HaNefesh of Dovid HaMelech? And again, points out to Nefesh HaChaim, it's not clear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, yes, I'll do it, or not. It might have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reply positively. And therefore, the Nefesh HaChaim quotes the Gemara and Maseches Nedarim on Daf Samch Bet, Aseh Dvarim L'Shem Po'olam V'Daber Behen Lishma, and he brings what the Rosh says over there, that the Rosh says, Kol Diburcha V'Masocha B'Divrei Torah Yeh L'Shem Torah, Kegon Leida U'Lehovin, Ulahoisif Lekach Upilpul. That is the Nusach that the Rosh said, and everybody that wants to define this approach, he quotes these words. Leida Ulahovin, Ulahoisif Lekach Upilpul. Now, the Pasha Pshat of the Nefesh HaChaim is, like we just now said, Lishma is to understand better the Sugya. My friend, who's a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, Hagoyen Rabbi Nachum Yaakovson, who's the Rosh Hashiva of Chemed, he wrote a very interesting mimer on this topic, and he has a very basic question that wants to bring out that there has to be more than what meets the eye of this definition. He quotes the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it's a Braisa, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis, that it says over there, the Kol Haloim Torah Lishma, Zoyche ledvarim harbe, neni memeno eitza betushia, meganim lo razei teira, nasa kemayana misgaber, ukenor she'eno poisek, and there's tremendous, terrific things mentioned there. So he asks a very simple question, Rabbi Yaakovson. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have hundreds and maybe tens of thousands of people who are definitely learning teira of leida ulahavin, lahoisif lekach upilpul. So how come we don't see this Mishnah being mekuyam by everybody? If it does not take such a high level of dveikus and yichudim just to sit and learn and to figure out the pshat of the sugya, so Reb David, we were together in the Mir Yeshiva. I think you would agree that 90% of the bachim there, or maybe even more, that's what they were doing. Lahavin uleida ulehoisif lekach upilpul. So how come not everybody was zeiche to this Mishnah? If it's orangutan and learning, well, Baruch Hashem, Rov Binyan and Rov Minyan of people of Olam HaTorah, that's what they're doing today. And yet, the kiyum of this Mishnah, of Eitzel, V'Gvura, Megalim L'Razi, Torah, etc., is still a Nachlas Yechidim, and it's not Nachlas HaKlal. So that was the question that he raised. And he asked this question to Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal. And Rav Moshe told him that the Nefesh HaChaim, you have to take it together with what Reb Chaim Volozhiner wrote also in Ruach Chaim on that very brisa that we're speaking about. And over there, it's not 100% the words of the Nefesh HaChaim, but the Ruach HaChaim explains more to it, that it's the Indian of Lishma is not only that the person should drive and utmost get the most out of the sugya, but he has to do it for the sake of the Torah. And Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal explained, meaning the Torah itself wants to be revealed. The Torah is happy when it's revealed. The Torah was given to be revealed. And I think Rav Moshe Zatzal was referring to the Zohar HaKadosh and Chelek Gimel and Gimel Amud Beis. Torah, Amai Ikri Torah. You know, we always say the word Torah. What does Torah mean? Begin the Oru, it's Loshon Hara, the Gali, B'mai Dehav is Sosim, the Lo Isyada. The whole essence of Torah is Gili, to bring it out, to bring another Oymek. And the Ruach Chaim over there gives a mushal to a wood, a bunch of wood, let's say a few amudei etz that have to reach from A to B. They have to go through a river, and there's someone sitting on the on these pieces of wood, and making sure that the wood reached its destination. What happens here is two things: the person that's sitting on the wood will reach also his destination; he won't drown. And the wood will reach where it's supposed to reach, and it will be turned into a home or to a house or to furniture, whatever they're planning to do out of it. That's what the Ruach HaChaim says in over there on the Braisa, meaning that the to'elis of Lishma should be, A, that the Adam is getting more involved in Torah and tries to understand as much as he could, but every time you're maving a little bit more, there's a gilui of Torah here. And Gilui of Torah, and it has to be done for that sake, for the sake of Torah, not just for my Habana or for my Hana from the learning, but rather the Lashon of Moshe was, HaTorah Tzricha Lihidgalot Ba'olam. The Torah has to be Mizgale in the world. You could bring here the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Tesamud Beis. Ma'ikra nefesh amela amelolo, hu amel b'mokom zeh, v'toroso amelos loy b'mokom acher. And explain Rashi there, what does it mean? Torah amelos shemechazeret alav. The Torah itself is going after him. U'mevakeshet me'et kona. The Torah asks from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, limsolo ta'amei Torah v'sidareha, to give over to this amel b'tera its tamim. V'kokach lama? Shekof of Piyu al Dibrei Torah. So meaning, it has to be a combination of Lishma, Leshem Torah, is Leida Ulahavin, Lo Yisiklekach Upilpul, but the Kavana has to be as well, that we want more Torah revealed in this world. And there is a Kavana that you have to be an Ashtikal Madrega to have that Kavana as well. That the goal is that there should be more Gilui of Chokhmah Satorah in the Bria.
Rabbi Yeshua, let me ask you, according to the way the Baal HaTanya understands that it's an inyan of Dveikus, we can understand, you know, what Limud HaTorah is on that level, to be Mizdabik. But if it's an inyan of that the Torah should be revealed, like, so where the Torah is revealed, what then? I mean, how do we connect the dots? So the Torah was revealed, and why is that such an important? What is the importance of that? What is the benefit of that?
Okay, good question. The oimek of that probably is, why does the Torah have to be revealed? Because here comes the Kodesh Baruch Hu into the picture as well. Obviously, also the Nefesh HaChaim himself speaks about, you know, connecting Torah to the Nois in that Torah. But the point is, Kol HaTorah Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like it's known, and the Ramban brings in the beginning of his Hakdama to Chumash. And the whole essence of Hashem is Gilui. A name is only needed for a sake of being revealed to someone else. If you're on your own, you don't need a name. And since Kol HaTorah Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, just like Hashem was given Kol Ma Shebara Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Lo Bara Ela L'Chvodo, the whole Bria was a Bria for the purpose of Gilui Shmo Yisbarach. That's what it's all about. Limud Torah is a vehicle to doing that, because Kol HaTorah Kula Shmo Yisav Shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. That's another essence of it that for sure has to be added here. That there's an inyan of Gilui of Torah, because that's what the Bria is all about. Gilui Shmoi Yisbarach, and Kol HaTorah Kula is Shmoi Yisbarach. But here comes the difference between this approach and the Baal HaTanya's approach, if I understand the Baal HaTanya's approach, Kedaboy, and I'm Chas Hashem not being Machriya. According to the idea of the other approach is that while I'm learning Torah, I should be thinking about my dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Nefesh HaChaim in the Shadal also points out, sometimes you're learning things in Torah which are on a low level in the Bria, a Migo of a Gazlan, a Ramai, Tainus, and Tumah of a Tyra. And how could it, at that same moment, to be focusing on the Eibishter and the Yichudim and the Shmoyis of Yisbach, says the Nefesh HaChaim, it just practically cannot be done. So of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of Torah. And of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noisana Torah. But the Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happening by understanding the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Ksois. And when you go into the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Ksois, and Rav Chaim Brisker and Rav Shimon Shkop, you are Megale Mishmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Mimela, that is also Dveikus, but in a, so to speak, indirect way.
So, Rabbi Yeshua, I would like to respond to a few points you made. You spoke about, if, according to the Baal HaTanya, that it's because of an inyan of dveikus. So why wouldn't tilim be the same thing? So the Baal HaTanya explains. He says, "What is the dveikus?" He says, "When you understand something, and your mind grasps the concept, you say, 'Ah, I got it.'" So you got it means at that moment your mind grasps some idea, and that idea was in Shalshul from Kav Yachal, so it's at that point there's some type of a connection.
Yeah.
So Tehillim is an emotional connection. Torah is an intellectual connection. So the Nefesh HaChaim's kashas, in effect, is why do you need to have an emotional connection when you could have an intellectual, when you can have an emotional connection? And I think that's Tani Chitin v'hoi de Baal Tani is saying, yes, there's different ways to be mistabik. There could be mistabik just by pure crying or dancing or laughing. There could be a dveikus that comes through the yichud of intellectual meeting up. So how could you say one is bigger than the other? It's two totally different connections. I honestly don't understand the kashuv in the Nefesh HaChaim.
Again, what the Baal Tani says, is I'm sure it's gewaldic. But the point of what you're saying, David, that Tehillim is an emotional connection, I would beg to disagree. It's Hishtapchus HaNefesh, but it's not emotional.
Well, what is when somebody says they're crying? Isn't crying...
No, but they cry because
the
I understand
was,
that...
The person was crying emotionally. Aren't they sort of like...
yeah, but where is it stemming from? Well, David HaMelech that wrote Tehillim, it's Dvar Hashem, it's Chochmah, it's one of the Sefer HaKodesh.
I understand that, but when you're
davening... It's not just poetry...
But
it's not just getting excited or emotional.
I understand,
yes,
but Tehillim is a type of tefillah, right? People daven and they say
yeah.
Tehillim. Most of our, a good portion of our tefillah, all the psukei de Zimra, all the lechun aranas, is all Tehillim. So Tehillim is about his personal struggles. They're not intellectual struggles. They're where he's talking about how he struggled and how he davened to the Rabbeinu Shalom to help him. So there's an emotional connection. A child can make an emotional connection too, and then could have a fabulous tefillah, but he's not going to say a new pshat, and he's not going to learn a ktsai. So I don't understand. I honestly didn't understand the kashya of the Nefesh HaChaim.
I'll tell you how I think Nefesh HaChaim understood. Meaning it's not emotional. Let's just define it. It's more the nefesh versus the seichel. Then I'm willing, like the Maran would divide it. If the ultimate purpose is the dveikus b'Hashem, the heart and the essence of an Adam is his nefesh, not his seichel. The seichel is what's called the hoicha fenster. For the dogma, the way the Maral says in the Siva Avoy, the Perek Beis, why does tefillah have to be expressed and verbalized? Why can't it be enough in the seichel? Machaser, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our machshavas. Says the Maral, because a human being, that's where he's holding. He's in that middle floor. He's in the darkness of nefesh. He's not Dargus Aguf, which is lower. He's not in Dargus Asechel, which is a very high madrega. People express themselves through speech. If your tefillah did not reach your speech, that means it did not hit you yet. And so why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu reply to a tefillah, which didn't shake you up enough as well? Goes on the Maral in the Siva Avoy the Perek Beis, and he says a tremendous chiddush, that by tzaddikim, that there's such anshei maila, their tefillah doesn't have to be verbalized. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also answer the Ratzon and the Machshava. But that's the Madrega of Tzaddikim. At the end of the day, you're right that there's intellectual and there's a different parts to a human being. But where is the heart of a human being? meaning where is his essence? Where are we most of the day dealing with? Well, the Seichel is a high madriga. For tzaddikim, that's where they're all. That's where they are for most of their lives. But what about ordinary, regular people? That's not where they're holding. So why are you telling them that the dveikus has to be through the seichel more than through the nefesh? If dveikus is the end of the is the name of the game?
Because I think that even somebody who's a big baal seichel connects intellectually on a higher level, but even a simple person, when he connects to a baby, his son who's crying, who's an infant, and he connects to his oldest son who he's having an interesting conversation with, they're both connections, a different type of connections. The infant is through love and nefesh and crying, and through his son it's going to be through learning a piece of Gemara together. He's connecting to them both, but on totally different range.
But
with the Kaviyachal, the same thing. We could connect through Torah with the Das is Mislabish with that Machshava, and we could connect Bishtapchus and Nefesh, and they're both different type of Dveikus, and one is not greater than the other. There's Torah and there's Tefillah, and the connection of Torah is a Dveikus through intellectual, and the other way it's through. So I still don't understand the question.
I hear what you're saying, but I think the Nefesh HaChaim has a good point here. If the ultimate purpose is that the Adam should be Dovek Bakodish Boho, what is the Iker, the Mahus of Adam? What is he engaged with the whole day? It's his Nefesh. There are high points of Seichel. I agree. But the Mahus of Adam, again, why does he have to verbalize his Tefillah? Why can the Tefillah just be in his mind? Because that's not what he's holding. So that's not where he's holding. So by Ruba de Alma, that's where they're holding. So Tehillim should be Lechatrila. The Nefesh Chaim brings another raya, by the way. Why does he have to finish Kol HaTorah Kula? He brings out the Midrashim that you have to know what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai know.
But I think Rabbi Yeshua, it's be the same answer. Nefesh Chaim, let me just finish off, I apologize. Nefesh Chaim says, learn one Mishnah, in your whole life. Why do you want to learn the whole Torah? And he brings a Chazal, the Bnei Nishalom turns his face to him, etc. But I would say it's the same thing. If you're connecting intellectually, if you have a son who's very bright and you like to discuss and connect, if you discuss the same thing again and again, at some point the connection, intellectual connection, loses itself. Whereas if you discuss this sugya and the other sugya and the third sugya, assuming it's intellectual dveikus, an intellectual chibur, from one you have a chibur one time, you get bored. When you say the same joke, the same svar again and again, it becomes boring. So if you want to have a continually fresh and complete connection, it's over a bigger range of topics. So I see the Tanya would answer this question the same way. It's an intellectual chibur.
Why is there a tree on you? Why did you do all this and this and that?
If I did all what I could,
why is there a tree on me? I did as I could. Why is there a tree? Why didn't you learn Medrash Mishlei?
Because if you could, it's only a medrash if you could have, but the pshat is somebody who could have, if you could speak to your child about not just his Gemara, but also his Shulchan Aruch, his Mishnah Berurah, his math, his, everything you do, you're connecting in another area. So why would that be different with Kaviyachal? We connect in Kol HaTorah Kula, in intellectual, and we connect the nefesh in another way.
Okay. Rav David, I hear what you're saying.
I beg to
look at it differently than the Nefesh HaChaim's approach. But anyway, if Bershuscha, I would just like to go add what Rav Yonis and David Shlita corresponded with Rav Nachim Yakovson on this point.
Okay, Adarab. But Rav Yishua, I want to say that your point is that the Nefesh HaChaim you're saying is talking about Dveikus, and that's the Baal HaTanya, and then Nefesh HaChaim is talking about Gilui of the Torah, and when there's a Gilui of the Torah, that is a Ratzon Hashem. So ultimately you are doing the Ratzon Hashem, but it comes through the Hiskalos of the Torah, and the more we are Megal of of the Torah through Pilpul and Limud and Hasmada, that is what Torah Lishma means.
Excellent, 100%. I would add to it also that this Rav Moshe Shapir Zatzal told me once, that this Nakuda, like the Gemara says, that a person, if Adam Zaria b'zman Zaria, v'choresh b'zman Charisha, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamedei, Torah mateh aleh. Right, that's the expression of the Gemara. Well, Torah is going to be fine. The question should have been, Anu, ma'ya aleinu? What's going to be with us? Well, I'm not being a Maratim. Why is the Lashon Torah mateh aleh? Torah, beseder, don't worry about the Torah. Anu ma'yalenu. That's again indicating that the Torah is tovea that has to be mizgale. There's the whole, you know, the whole expression bitul Torah. It's not bitul Torah. The Torah is there. It's bitul ha'adam from Torah. All these expressions show that there's an intrinsic essence that Torah is tovea to be mezgala in the bria, and that could be a little extending of what the Rebbe Chaim Voloshiner says in Nefesh HaChaim, together with what he says in Ruach Chaim, that the Torah is tovea. I want to be mezgala in the world. Rabbi Yonason, David Shlita, the Rosh Shiva Shlita, saying what the Maharal says in Agdoma to Tiferes Yisrael, on the famous Gemara in the Durham, that how come Talmidei Chachamim don't always have banim Talmidei Chachamim? Shelo birchu b'Torah tchila. Which means you have to take the Torah with the noisen Torah. When you separate the Torah from its noisen, that everybody agrees that that's not what should be done. But he, meaning that a person, while he's learning Torah, he should have the hargasha that he's doing it the dabik b'noisen Torah, by being oyev Hashem Yisbarach b'mashen nosan ha-Torah. So again, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. And taking the Torah and disconnecting it from nosan ha-Torah is the Churban of, that's what the Gemara says, that's what the Churban of Bais. But the Nakuda here is, it's not only lohavin uleida lo yisif lekach u'pilpul, but also to understand that this is coming from nosan ha-Torah. And Mimela, when I'm learning this Torah and I understand the Torah better, I have a deeper ava to the Eivishter that gave me such a beautiful Torah. That's what it means. What may not happen is shelo birchu b'Torah tchila. So that's like making this kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu also, but not that while I'm learning, I'm thinking about the Dveikus. Like the Maharal himself there says, there ain't ahava l'shnaim. It's very hard to be in love simultaneously to two. But always appreciating and understanding that this Torah came from its noisen Torah. And any gilui of Torah is a deeper oimek of a kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the noisen Torah.
Do you think, Rabbi Yeshua, that the way you're understanding the Machlokes, the Nefesh HaChaim and the Baal HaTanya, even though it's a dakus in Havana, but it had historically tremendous impact. For example, Hasidim, before they, when they learn, they'll put on their hat and their jacket and their garthel and they learn. And because it's a type of dveikus, you do that by davening, you do that by learning. By the Litvish world, those who follow the Nefesh HaChaim, on the contrary, if you go into Beis Medrash, I remember Baruch Nachum, he used to say shir without his hat and jacket. He used to say shir in his shirt sleeves. And I remember there was once some Rebbe who was whose son learned Baruch Nachum, and he came into Baruch Nachum and he asked him, why doesn't he say shir in his hat and jacket? And Baruch Nachum looked at him in surprise. He said, it's like going to Davin, so you put on your hat and jacket. He said, in your house, you don't wear your hat and jacket. He says, by me, he says, the Torah is mein shtub. The Torah is my workplace. In your workplace, you don't wear a hat and jacket. If you go daven, you put on a hat and jacket. Do you think that your Havana of the Chiluk could explain the split and where Hasidus ultimately has ended? You know, the great Hasidim with their Dveikus, etc., but they're accepted the way they looked at Torah and the way they feared the Chalilut for Yeshivas.
Listen, the Nefesh HaChaim himself says on these prakim that for sure from time to time we should pause and think about the Yiras Shemayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll read the Lashon that he says in Shah Dal Perek Vav. V'yichaven lizdabik b'limudoy b'toyra bo b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu lizdabik b'kol kechosel v'dvar HaShem zu alacha u'b'zeh hu dobek bo yizborach mamesh. Kibyochel ki hu yizborach v'ritzoyno ichad k'mo yishar kosa b'zohar. So, meaning, I think it could be bechlav that if we take them to extremes, it will be a big machlokes. But I just read you now the Nefesh HaChaim and Pshar Dal Perek Vav, that when you're learning, yichaven lidabik b'limudei b'Torah bo b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's like when you have the tefillah of Rabbi Nachman ben Akonim before you start davening, which the Chazon Ish said very much you should daven it as well. It's not that it's just, I'm now on an intellectual drive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be put on the back burner. That's not what the Nefesh HaChaim meant either. Chas v'sholom. Now, why doesn't manifest itself in a gazel and a hat? Okay, I think that's a technicality. But for sure, before you start learning, you got to think very much about the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Nisan HaTorah, also according to Nefesh HaChaim. You know, David, it just reminds me what Rav Hutna Zatzal once told me. Not regarding this machlek is between Hasidim and the time and Litvak, but meaning the point I'm saying is, Nefesh HaChaim is not so extreme like people may think at the first step, at the first sight that he's saying. And the Baal HaTanya, if you look up also, and I had a chance to look up in the Likutei Maamarim, the machlekes, I think, is a lot smaller than people think. And this Rav Hutna once told me that when you hear the name the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov, when you hear these two names said together in one breath, what do you think to yourself? Machlekes, right? The Gaon was Rosh HaMisnagdim, and the Baal Shem Tov was Rosh HaChassidim. What was the main avoida of the Gaon throughout Kol Yimei Chayav? Torah. Learning Torah. I'd believe dying. How would you define what was the emphasis or the avoida of the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmidov? Simcha. Yivdu is Hashem b'simcha. So l'chura, you could put here Torah versus Simcha. Now, when big people die, that means they finish their tafkid. The Gaon was Nifter on Yutis Tishrei, Tov Kuf Nun Ches, which is the middle of Zman of Chasukis, Zman Sim Chaseinu. The Baal Shem Tov was Nifter 38 years earlier, on Vav Sivan, Shavuos. Each one was Nifter, so to speak, on Yenim Yom Tov.
That's beautiful.
The Baal Shem Tov was Nifter Zman Matam Tereseinu, and the Gaon was Nifter Zman Sim Chaseinu.
Right.
That's a fact. There's a machlekes amongst the chassidim was the best nifter in Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan, but Rav Deh say was Vav Sivan 38 years earlier. So I asked the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, I was then 20. Yeah, what does the Rosh Hashiva want to say with this? So he like told me off a little bit, Tachshov Levad, like think yourself what this means. And what I understood from it, and it could be it's definitely not enough, and it could be I'm making a mistake, that he was trying to say that Ba'oimek u Ba'oimek, there's not such a big chilek the way it may appear the first time. When the Gaon said Torah, he didn't mean Simcha.
And Rabbi Yeshua, if you look at the Nefesh HaChaim in Perek Vav, his lashon is, when he finishes talking about Talmud Torah, he says, his lashon is, U'bezehu davuk by mamish kavayachal.
Yeah, that's what I read before.
That's the beginning of the rest.
So 100%. That's what I read before. That's right, Rav
David. Yeah.
And when the Baal Shem Tov said Simcha, so here in England there's an expression, happy clappy, what an empty Simcha. Of course. So like, again, the machlokes I think is smaller than it appears at the first glance. But what the Nefesh HaChaim is saying is, again, focusing on that it's the ikar is the havana on the sugya, working hard on the sugya, and that will bring out the gili of Torah the way Rav Moshe explained it, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, and Yibod al Chaim Tov, and the way Rabbi Yonason explaining it, it's the chibur to Nois Torah, which is the maran and agdama to Tiferes. I want to add just one last point that Rabbi Nachum Yaakovson told me, that Rabbi Sol Eli Weintraub Zatzal, he added that Torah, the Gili of Torah means it should reach all the way down to the Maise, which is a lot of Rishonim understand that Limud Torah Lishma means
Lomalamalasos.
And with your permission, David, I would just like to conclude. I think all three of these approaches of the Gili of Torah and the Dvekus Benoisin Torah and bringing it down the Maise is, if you look in Sifrei Maharal, you'll see that he has three definitions to the word Torah. And the first Gur Aryeh, the first Shtikl Gur Aryeh, which is the first Sefer of the Maral printed, in Shin Lamed Ches. So the first Zog of the Maral and the Bria in the world was, explaining Rashi's Kasha, that the Torah should have started only with the Chodesh Lelechem. Hi, the stories of the Torah and Breishis and so on are very important also. The End of a Rek, Vachot Lutam Timna is also Chashav Tino. Says the Maral, but the word Torah is Loshon Hayra, and Hayra means commandments. Like a melech wants people to do his commandments. So therefore people, the Torah should focus on tzivuim, Hi, the stories of Sefer Breshis are Yisodei Adas. It should be a Sefer on its own, like Sefer Iyo was a Sefer on its own, even though, according to some opinions, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. That's what Maral says. The Torah's Lashon Hara means commandments and a tzivui of a melech la'amoy. And that's how he writes also in the Siva Emunah. In the beginning of Drosh HaMitzvos, he says, you know what Torah means? If it would mean only mitzvahs, it should have been called Sefer HaMitzvos, like the Rambam called this Sefer, Sefer HaMitzvos. Why is it called Torah? The Kodesh Baruch Hu wants also the Havana, not only just to do it without, try you as much as you could, even in the Chukim, to have your Havana in it. But the more common explanation, the Maral says, in many places of his farm, that Torah is Lashon Hara, directions to reach Olam Haba. Torah is the only vehicle that you enter it in this world and you land in Olam Haba. So the Maral has three hesberim to the word Torah, which means Hara. It doesn't mean commandments. Doesn't mean comprehending, Hara from Lashon Havana. Or does it mean directions? And we'll lead you to Olam Haba. And this is really the three hesberim that I just mentioned here before. Reb Moshe Shapira Zatzal is saying the Gilui of the Torah, the Chochmah of Torah, that's the Torah which is, means Chochmah. To understand it, not just to do it, but to have the Havana. What the Maral said in the beginning of Drush HaLamitzvahs. What Reb Yonason Deva was speaking about is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Olam Haba, meaning that's what all Olam Haba is about. Tzadikim Yoishvim Benenim Ziv HaShchina, that's what it is. It's that Kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what Eli Weintraub said, that to do the mitzvahs, that's the understanding of Hara, Lashon commandment, just do it. Don't just think about it, but just also do it. So that's what we came up with when I'm starting to learn the sugya of, again, Torah Lishma means Lashem Torah, and the word Torah itself includes a variety of hergeshim, and all that is what it should mean, Torah Lishma.
Rabbi Hartman, it's a great honor having you on with us. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, shkoyach, b'atzlacha, and keep on doing Havatzis Torah in such an interesting way.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We have the honor of having with us on the phone from Lakewood, New Jersey, Rav Nachum Greenwald. He is the Rav of Chabad of Lakewood. He's the editor of Heichal HaBal Shem Tov. He's the author of Sefer HaRav, which is a compilation, I guess, of Biur on the Torah of the Baal HaTanya. So certainly equipped for this discussion. Welcome, Rav Greenwald.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
So we are trying to understand, could you give us some insight into the machlekes between the Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim in the Pirush of Torah Lishma? And I'm presupposing that there is a machlekes, because we've had those who say it's not a machlekes, they really agree, but assuming there is a machlekes, and from the language of the Nefesh HaChaim, it certainly would seem that he believed there was a machlekes. So I'd love your opinion of it.
Okay, so let me preface a few things that are misconceptions, which I think. We're talking about two, usually what people are talking about, they entangling two ideas, and the discussion if there is a machlekes and there's not a machlekes relates to two separate ideas. First of all, we're talking about a general perspective on the view of what we call the unification of God, which in Chabad terminology called Achdus Hashem, which is the view which in Chabad we assume that this is the position of the Baal Shem Tov about the concept of Achdus Hashem, and it relates to the famous notion of the Tzimtzum, the Kabbalistic notion of Tzimtzum, and so on and so forth. So on that, there's a big dispute amongst many, many different authorities if there is a Machlaikis or not, if the Nefesh HaChaim agrees with the Baal HaTanya on that topic or not. In Chabad, and there's a famous letter from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, from the late Lubavitcher Rebbe, who says that there is definitely a machlekes. It's in contrast to the view of the V.R. Dessler, which writes famously that there is not a machlekes. That's one topic, which is a big topic, of course, and I wrote extensively on that in the Heichal HaBal Shem Tov. I elaborated on the different views on Tzimtzum, in the first three or four, actually, issues about that particular topic. Now, then there's the topic of Torah Lishma, which is really, of course, somewhat related to that particular topic, but about particularly how to regard Limud Torah Lishma, things are not that black and white. It's not a binary world, and the differences are more complicated than that. In generally, of course, there is a difference, because, of course, the world Anshang of Chassidus, which is indeed rooted in this notion, which in Chassidus is a central theme, which is the idea of that Achdus Hashem. The idea is that basically, which is called the cosmism, basically the idea that the world is really included, submerged within the Eivishter, within God. This is like a very central theme in Chabad. It's understood that this is the central theme of Chassidus. Out of this perspective derives a whole different worldview. Also regard, yeah, I'll elaborate in a second. Also regarding the specific thing about Torah Lishma and so on and so forth. But in the particular reality, things are more complicated and they're not black and white, as I'll elaborate. Yeah, what are you asking?
Could you elaborate on what you said, the central theme of Chabad, of Achdus Hashem? Could you elaborate
on
that?
Yes, elaborate on that. Okay, so there is, it's like, specifically, there is in Tanya, the second part of Tanya, it's called Shar Yichud V'Amunah. Over there, basically, the central idea, which is the Shem Tov idea, Bishtonian idea, the idea of, which he starts even with a Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, basically stating over here, there he makes the state, he puts down this idea, this philosophy, this theosophy about a idea of Achdus Hashem, basically arguing that the world, the way it's argued over there, it's very strong, that the world basically created from God. By the fact that the world needs constantly to be created, it really is not a reality. The reality is really submerged within God himself. How do we see a reality? It seems that in one phrase that he says over there is that Lenitna Lain Leshus Lain Lirois. It's a very complicated dialectic argument over there. It's the 12th chapters. He presents the argument over there. It's a very dialectic, as usually by the Baal HaTanya. Everything is back and forth. But the argument is, nevertheless, that on one hand, the world is really kind of like a divine or within the divine. On the other hand, nevertheless, somehow, mysteriously, the world seems a reality to us. Now, in Chabad literature, there's like very famous arguments about this particular argument, like how real is the world? Is the world an imagination? In later Chabad literature, it's argued very ferociously that no, the world is of course a reality. It's like talking about like very abstruse arguments to try to explain both sides of this argument itself. But this is the central theme. Now, out of this particular theme, here is the root of a general machlokes between, I would call, the Nefesh HaChaim and the Baal HaTanya. How do we approach, from that perspective, Judaism? What's the purpose, so to speak, of a Jew in this world? You know, this is where things are splitting. Now, theoretically, Nefesh HaChaim agrees with this, that the world, which he writes also in similar language, that the world is also in somewhat not a reality. He speaks the same language, Einoid Milvadoi, and so on and so forth. However, this is really an impractical reality of practice, of religious practice. Here is where the distinction comes to fore. Basically, according to Baal HaTanya, and the perspective of Chassidus, I would say in general, is the question is, what is the purpose of a Jew in this world? I would ask very simple question. Any Jew, not a mystical Jew, not a Jew from with great piety, but a regular Yid, you know, which he writes the Tanya to, which is the Sefer HaBeinonim, which is more or less, he claims that this is appealing to every Jew. According to his perspective, which comes across almost every page from the Tanya, is that the point of view of a Jew is to reach that state of sensing the fact that the world is submerged within God. I was asking, what's the goal of a Jew? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of doing mitzvahs? What's the purpose of the ritual act of a Jew? What's the purpose of studying Torah. All is in the goal. How are we able to undo the fact that the world seems to us cloaked in a kind of like obscuring the reality of God's real presence and the fact that God is ubiquitous in this world? So this is really the general perspective that, according to perspective of Chabad, Baal HaTanya, this is really the goal, the hope, the messianic hope, the general personal journey of a Jew, how much he could accomplish that thing. Now here,
Rabbi Nachum totally disagrees.
Rabbi Nachum,
you're saying that the purpose of a Jew is to be Megala the Hastara, and to be Makir that there's a Bayri Elam, and to see the Bayri Elam in the Bria.
To see the Bayri Elam in reality. In other words, to undo the cloak, the reality of the world should be somehow submerged. Now again, okay. I'm simplifying something that is really a very complicated dialectic over here. It's not simple as that, but generally this is the goal, yes. When we're asking what is the goal of a Chassid, this is the goal of a Chassid.
Okay. To be Megala Kvayed Malchus, not so much to be Megala, but to be Makir Kvayed Malchus in the Bria.
It's not only to be Makir, but rather to just realize how the world is, the existence of the world is not really a real existence outside the divine presence. It's not just recognizing Kvayed Malchus or the fact that God runs the world, or God controls the world, or God is Mashgiach of the world. This is usually the meaning when people say Megala Kvayed Malchus. But here we're talking about much more powerful, kind of undermining in some ways the reality of world, you know, the mere existence, the central existence we're questioning over here. This is really what we have to achieve, what we have to accomplish. We're asking a person to really efface his own existence, but the universal existence, the cosmic existence, not only some personal thing, but it wraps in with the cosmic thing also. But first and foremost, it's a personal quest.
So are you speaking about Bittel or are you, of the Atzmius? Are you talking about the Hakara? Which one is
No,
it?
I'm talking about the Bittel of the Atzmius, yes. Bittel Hayesh, which is the common term in Chabad.
So the
yes.
Bittel Hayesh is basically to be...
Or Bittel Amitzias, there's two languages.
Yes,
two
understand that.
Terminology of Chabad.
And there is Ein Oid Mulvadeh, Bittel Hayesh, Ein Oid Mulvadeh. That is the
yes.
reason for creation. Okay.
Yes.
And the Nefesh HaChaim.
Okay. The Nefesh HaChaim, on the other hand, is this is where he disagrees. And he argues, indeed, it's a reality that the world somehow is submerged in God. But the whole point of Torah V'mitzvahs is like really... opposite in some ways, and this is like dealt with in Chabad, as I said, in a different context and so on and so forth. But in some ways, what he argues with, that this is a dangerous presupposition. The way of a Jew, when the Torah was given, opposite. The Torah speaks about reality. The Torah is based on reality. The Torah is based on distinctions. The Torah is based on the fact that there is profane and there is holy, that there is the mundane and there's the sacred. The Torah speaks about, of course, the opposite of submerging everything in this divine presence. This is not the goal. This is not the goal of Torah. And he says it with the famous language, that this is mitzidoi and this is mitzideinu. There is mitzidoi, this notion of, and matter of fact, for a regular Jew in regular life, he's not supposed to be engaged in mitzidoi, because he says that this is what the Mishnah says, that the malafon of malaocher, you know, that a person shouldn't engage in those very quintessential engagement of divine engagements. This is something for God. Now, from time to time, he says in a Torah, in a certain things, people could from time to time break through and think from the divine perspective. But if you analyze what Torah is, the reality of Torah, the reality of a halachic system, the reality of the ritual system is based on opposite, that we have to have a reality, and we engage to submit ourselves and observe, of course, the reality of halacha. This is what the halachic system, so to speak, speaks to a different factor, to a different fact than this notion that we have to live this mystical unification, the unimystical unification of self-effacement. This is something that the halachic system opposite discourages. And this is a dangerous thing that if each person would engage in that, we could break the whole system of what halacha established of clear demarcations between holy and defiled and so on and so forth.
So, let me tell you the central argument between the two.
Cool.
Let me tell you a story that, do you tell me if this
yes.
fits in, okay? Because I heard this story from, I believe it was Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecharo Lebracha.
Yes.
He says there was a great Chabad chassid. It could be that he said it was Rabbi Isaac Kamala. Somebody wrote the Chan Ariel. He said he was going to a town. He was he had to be someplace Rosh Hashanah. And the place where he was did not have a shofar.
Yes.
And the shofar was Chutzlat Chum.
Yes, I know
said,
the story, yes. I'll tell you the story.
And bring the shofar, because he knows that B'shayrish, that the side of shofar, is Daicha the Halacha of Tchumen.
I'll tell you the story.
This is where I remember the story. I heard it maybe 30 years ago from Moshe.
Yeah, but the story has very good sources.
And the way he explained it, he said, this is a quintessential difference of, do we look at the halacha and say, this is our chiyuv, or do we say, no, let's go past halacha, let's go to the shayrish, and if we do that, then it could be mavatl halacha, and to me, that would be an afgamina of the way you're explaining the
Shekhaim. I'm just going to repeat the story accurately. There was a chassid, a disciple of the Alter Rebbe, named Revelvel Vilenker, from the great disciples of Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Homler. He traveled, actually, with the Radal. Radal,
the
author and the famous commentary on
Radal.
The Pesach of Rikov Leder.
David
Leder, David Bichaver, also it was called. Actually, and they were close to Rosh Hashanah, and it looks like they were not going to be able to get it any time for Rosh Hashanah. So he was pushing the horses to go faster, and he says, even though it's already going to be Mechutz L'Tchum, nevertheless, I heard, he said, he used to speak, he couldn't say a Reish properly. He says, I heard from the Rebbe, meaning the Baal HaTanya, the secret of the mitzvah of shofar. It's a shofar, he used to say. And indeed, therefore, I'm not going to miss shofar for anything. Chutz L'Tchum is the Rabbanan, I'm not going to miss. Yeah, this is a story brought in many accurate sources. And indeed, there lies some kind of difference between the two schools. It's an accurate depiction of the difference.
Yeah, I mean, Reb David Lieder was Mushpa from the base Medrash Yishal Agra, and he was from the Baal HaTanya, so you have that division with these two people, right? So how would this affect the Machlokes of Torah Lishma? How do you see the connection?
Okay, so regarding Torah Lishma, now I just want to also make a kind of caveat to the whole thing. Nevertheless, in particular, within the Baal HaTanya's world, the world of Halacha is also highly respected, and there is the same way as we discuss this notion of Achdus Hashem, we're getting into different, deeper layers and deeper dimensions. But the Baal HaTanya, of course, wrote Hilchos Talmud Torah and wrote Shulchan Aruch Harav. And generally, not only that, but there is a whole corpus of discussion within Chabad that the Baal HaTanya established about the importance of the halachic system and very, very complicated, Mamar and discourses, which elaborates greatly upon this particular thing. I'm just putting it in as a broaden the perspective. Not that black and white. That's what I want to say about this general topic. Now, talking about Torah Lishma. Now, particularly, the idea of Torah Lishma really precedes. Now, the question, of course, it's a Gemara that you have to learn Torah Lishma, correct? It's not something that started with. And in some ways, in that particular argument, so, of course, the Hasidic movement was of course, originally more emphasizing the devoutness of limited Torah. And there was a big argument against learning Torah for the sake of just for Chochmah, for the sake of the irrational part and of the intellectual engagement. And the Maral already decries that. He writes that famous in the Feres Yisrael. He writes this famous argument that many people, Lebarcho b'Torah t'chila, so he says, So he says that many people study, and while they're studying, because they're so engaged in intellectual arguments, they forgot the nois natara. They forgot, so the Baruch, this is how he explains why Talmid HaChachamim. This is an argument that precedes, of course, the Hasidic movement. So, of course, when Hasidus came, which was mainly an inspirational and pietistic movement, of course, really in some ways the essence of Chassidus. It's a movement of rejuvenation and of spiritual. So of course the argument is regarding Torah also, like how do we engage in Torah? So Chassidus looked that the Torah is also one of the vehicles to achieve this mystical dveikus. You know, Chassidus itself, and this is like here a very interesting fine distinction between the both schools, which are like very fine in the sense that Chassidus said that, you know, the famous Zohar they used, which became almost a Chassidic, a part of the Chassidic movement, the argument says, you know, Torah without Ava V'Yira doesn't rise, doesn't surge above in the upper world, up to heaven, which is a statement of the Zohar, of Tikkuni Zohar. And the Chassidus, of course, it was added a whole mystical dimension of the sense of what does it mean, Chilu V'Rechimu. Of course, this also went through interpretation, what Ava means, what like, fear means. All those things went through a different interpretation, but nevertheless, it was an understanding that a person has to learn with fervor. The actual learning is not an intellectual experience per se, but it's rather a means how to get dveikus. You know, this is the understanding of Chassidus. Now, Reb Chaim Volozhiner in general was emphasizing, no, Torah itself is really engagement. In other words, we have to do in similar sense. We have to learn, the mitzvah is learning. And in this regard, you could say that Reb Chaim Volozhiner was more, you know, when we're talking from the perspective of mystical schools, nothing to do with Chassidus. Like, you know, we're talking about the world of the Shlah and the world, you know, as a world of even the ground self, you know. Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim became trying to emphasize the importance of Torah, the prime importance of Torah, fearing apparently that Chassidus would endanger, like so to speak, limud haTorah because they emphasize so much dveikus. So it seems that he was trying to make an argument that Torah is preeminent thing that a person has to engage. And he was trying to argue against all kinds of arguments that would, in his eyes, weaken learning a Torah. Now he famously, therefore...
By the way, he actually writes, I forget it's in Nefesh HaChaim or HaChaim, that there are many but the Midrashim where he went into that there wasn't a single of a complete Shas.
Yes, yes, he writes it. He writes it in the Nefesh HaChaim, yes, that he went and there was no Shas. Just like
volumes of a Shas. And when he writes,
yeah,
it,
but
it's
that's a little
and
bit
I'm
strange.
I'm just saying it's
but,
a continuation. Ki lishma, he says, Ein pirish dveikus, ke moishe soivrim ata roiv ha'olav.
Yes, yes, yes. Now this particular argument, I just want to emphasize that specifically this particular argument is almost a quote from the Sefer Yosher Divrei Emes. You know the Sefer Yosher Divrei Emes?
Yosher Divrei Emes is the great Chassidish Sefer. It's the
yes.
The sense of
Actually,
used to call it the sense of Chassidus.
Yeah, so now this statement that Nefesh HaChaim is refuting or repudiating is actually almost a quote from the Sefer Yosher Divrei Emes, which in many instances the Nefesh HaChaim refers to more against the Yosher Divrei Emes than against the Sefer HaTanya. You know, like he says, the Yosher Divrei Emes says that V'nosel lo neterosei l'hagas b'lishmo l'izdovik b'sham izbarach. And therefore, he says the main engagement of Torah is this is the lesson of the Yosher Divrei Emes. And the Emes, he says, the lomdim einem lomdim rak mitzvah nosh malamadam on yechkemu. And therefore, the main thing against this, the Nefesh HaChaim writes apparently inyan esek haTorah ein lishma ein pirush dveikus. So this is like a major, and it's no question that Chassidus indeed understood that the whole purpose of Torah is a tool, an instrument, how to engage in dveikus. In other words, as you said before, the idea of general experience of Judaism is, according to Chassidus, that we have to submerge ourselves and cleave and connect ourselves. So this is, Torah was also considered one of the means, and of course in Tanya he describes the different methods, this mitzvah and this Torah and this tefillah, but all of them are some different methods how to break through this problem that we have, how to engage with the Vekas. This is really an argument of Chassidus.
How does Chabad answer the two or three kashas that the Nefesh HaChaim asks on the Baal HaTanya? He says, if it's Dveikus, say Tehillim a whole day. Or he says, if it's Dveikus, he says, so then why learn all of Torah? Learn just
okay,
one
so
Tehillim
of Torah. I want to continue 1 second. Now, in Tanya, however, there's a much more multi-layered description of what Torah is. You know, it's in some ways, the same language as the Nefesh HaChaim says, the Tarais of Kuchavich Kulachad is also brought down in Tanya. It's like similar language. And also when he talks about Lishma, Leloi Lishma, the Baal HaTanya, of course, emphasizes that a person should learn Lishma and how you have to learn Lishma. And nevertheless, even, you know, there's in Shulchan Aruch Arav, like in Hilchas Talmud Torah, he says that even a Talmud Sheein Ahagin, even a person that doesn't learn Lishma, but Lo Yidach Memene Nidach, eventually, even he didn't learn Lishma, he shouldn't learn Lishma, but Lo'ilam, yeah, of course, it's a Gemara, Lo'ilam Yilmadon Shloi Lishma, because eventually that it's going to be Lishma. So in Tanya, there's like a very like broad scope about different various levels, and of course the ultimate level, the ultimate goal is of course the idea that Torah by essence is Dveikus. That's the ultimate goal, and this is what we have to achieve. But he nevertheless allows for lesser levels and for different entry levels, and for it's like very complicated. It's not very black and white, as you said, in the world of the Tanya. Therefore, I'm saying that the more you find this very binary language is more in Svarim, which is the Yosha Divra Levov, which is like a very strong worded sefer, which describes like a very fiery world of just engagement in Lishma. But in Tanya, the Tanya itself deals with it in many, many different ways. You know, in many different chapters in Tanya, he deals with it in different ways, and in many, many different Mamorim, he deals with it in different ways, and of course in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So of course, he allows for different levels about this whole thing. But nevertheless, in the goal, the way how he presents it, it's true that nevertheless, the essence of Torah is to have the idea of Dveikus. But in reality, he recognizes the different levels and different realities, and he takes it in account when he describes. And of course, he's very, interesting. If somebody learned Tanya, he knows the title of Talmud Torah almost like every chapter has a Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and a Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. He emphasizes the importance of Torah in a very strong way, and we know that Hilchos Talmud Torah is like extremely machmir when it comes to Talmud Torah, and he even writes, which is upsacked, that they didn't find yet a clear source for that, that he have writes halachically that even a Talmud Sheein Ahagin, which the Gemara says that he learned it Kazodik B'Makoilis, he writes that he also allowed to learn with him. And eventually it says it's going to work out. That's what he writes.
Let's go back to the question, which is a very novel
psak.
How would he answer the questions of the Nefesh HaChaim?
Yeah, which particular question?
So Nefesh HaChaim asks three questions. One is, he says, if it's about Dveikus, to say Tehillim all day, be with Shtapchus HaNefesh, what could there be about Dveikus?
Yeah, so the answer in the answer is, of course, that it says in Perek Hei and Tanya, the difference between Torah and mitzvahs is that Torah is, he calls in the language of his pnimius. It's a common Chabad lingo, which is called pnimius, which means internalizing. There's two divine expressions. There's the transcendent one, or we call makiv, and there's the internalizing one. The Eivishter Kaviyochel is like really internalizing ourselves. The divine hashpah, divine shefa, is really being internalized. Now, he views that the significance, the uniqueness of Torah is that a person internalized kaviyochel, the Eivishter, as the language is, tzimtzum asatzmei, the Eivishter squeezed themselves in, that even though the Eivishter is infinite, and less machshava tfisa beklau, nevertheless, a person, where he learns, is able to absorb God within himself, which is called, is based on the Arizal, calls it mazon, it's called food. Versus levushim, which is mitzvah. So from that point of view, learning the Ian, and he describes over there the intellectual engagement in the beginning of Perek Hey, that he describes how a person, when he engages intellectual learning, then a person, the moyach, he says, the muskel and the maskel, the intellect is makiv and nikif, that describes the intellectual engagement in learning. Which, of course, from that point of view, saying tilim. Yes. So, one second. So, saying tilim is not intellectual engagement. So, he's just saying words, as he says in mitzvahs itself, like dibur of Torah is not. But however, therefore, limit be'ian is necessary in order to have. Only then does a person internalize God within himself. This is basically the argument.
Why isn't it internalized by tefillah?
Because tefillah is not intellectual engagement. It's an emotional engagement, but it's not intellectual.
Yeah, but emotional is also internalized.
Yeah, but it's tefillah.
There's tefillah b'mistarim, right? So
why isn't tefillah internalized? So I'll explain to you about the difference of tefillah. In general, it's understood that tefillah is called in the language, it's mamata lamayla. It's the person's service of God. And generally, there are three types of rituals, three types of practices. Torah is a divine power, as he says, it's God himself. It's the melech cloaked within many cloaks of letters and of intellectual engagement. There's mitzvahs, which are divine commandments, which is tafsa v'chibar. A person connects himself to mitzvahs. Tefillah is the personal, it's more your own meet, it's the person meeting God. It's not something that a person comes and, oimed lifna melech. It's the person's search, it's the person's own confrontation or meeting the divine presence. In the Kabbalistic world, it's called the chinuch malchus. It's called chinuch sufil tate.
It's
the own personal voyage, the own personal engagement.
But it could also be internalized. So it's not about internal.
I understand,
external.
But it's not. It's not. These two things. A Torah, we are viewing. This is the Dvar Hashem. This is min hashamayim mishmaticha skolecha.
Right.
It's not your own word. When a person learns Torah, he's really engaging in chokhmasa v'tzayin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking about like the essence of God is entering a person's intellectual framework. It's a totally different experience.
Right. So that was one question. And then his other question was, why learn if the goal is to chokhmasa yisbarach to mistabik chokhmasa? He says, learn one perek be'in your whole life. Why do you have to learn all of Torah?
Yes.
which, by the way, the Baal HaTanya in his Hilchos Talmud Torah talks about the chiyuv to learn Kol HaTorah. He says there's the mitzvah Yediyas HaTorah and the mitzvah Limud HaTorah.
Yes, he has. Indeed,
he himself recognizes it. So Nefesh Chaim says, why do all of it if it's to be mistabik through an intellectual exercise? Learn one perek.
Yes. So indeed, the answer is, of course, that. Each intellectual, but again, if we're talking about, it's similar question as the previous question of engagement in, but of course the engagement of Torah has to be total, you know, it has to be all encompassing. By learning one, the Torah is also the reality of the world and it's unifying. That's like a more mystical level. It's about the uniqueness of Torah. In other words, when we are unifying itself through our Torah, you know, so the Torah is really the blueprint for the world, the general picture of the world. Every part of Torah is therefore a very important ingredient in this whole scheme of things, of God's revelation to this world. And when a person is learning every part of Torah, you know, like different parts of Torah, is through that engaging in this mystical world, you know, understanding that we are really opposite from a mystical point of view by retracing creation.
If it's a question of Zedekas, why do you have to be Mizdabik through all of Torah? Do it through one part of Torah.
The answer is that the whole Torah is there for a reason. You know, God gave the Torah for a purpose. In other words, if the Torah would be able, we have viewed that David created the world through the Asara Mamorim, through the Oisis HaTorah. It's a whole
I understand, but if the Tachlis was to hug, If the tachlis is to hug the melech, what does it matter if you're wearing a blue coat, a green coat, a yellow coat, or a thing? You're still being mechabik the melech derech begadav. So why does it matter which beged you're wearing?
Okay.
That's the question.
So in the world of pnimius that we're talking about, in the world of pnimius, so the pnimius demands a personal relationship. It's not enough to be mechabik and you do a mitzvah, you could do apparently the mitzvah in a way that it's not necessary to. I'm just explaining one aspect of it because in Chabad discourses there's a lot of discussion about it. But I'm trying to explain it from one perspective. From the perspective that we're just discussing now about the idea of pnimius, the idea of pnimius means that a person internal. There's a relationship when we talk about Torah's pnimius means God relates to us in an internalized way. There's a generic relationship that we have with the Eibishter, and there's a particular, correct? The intellectual relationship, it has to be intellectual, has to be intellectually engaging. We're talking about Chachmas Shel Ratzon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is so therefore it has to encompass the broad Chachma of God, the Chachma Elah of God, and which refers to the whole gamut of Torah, which the reason why there is the whole gamut of Torah, the reason why the Torah expands so much, the reason why there is Kala Torah Kula, all these things, because all the Oisis HaTorah are relating to the Neshamas Yisrael, and all the words of Torah are specifically relating to a specific aspect of the world and of your reality. And by engaging in learning the expanse of Lurmid HaTorah, a person intellectually engages with the Eivishter on a much, much different level, of an internalized level, than if he's just learning one sugi again and again. This is like
okay.
One
so,
understanding
Nachum,
of this notion.
So you explained the Baal HaTanya, which is really
right.
The whole world is about recognizing Ein Oid Milvada, and you could do that through
right.
The Pnimius, through Torah too. And how do you understand the Nefesh HaChaim's view of what Torah Lishma is?
Okay, so the view of the Nefesh HaChaim is rooted. Again, I'm giving you one perspective because Tanya is a very dialectical Torah, you know, and I'm talking about like this specific thing we just spoke. Why do we have to learn Kala Torah Kula?
Right.
In Tanya, there's different language about
the
whole thing. But I'm talking about this specific thing. So the Nefesh HaChaim comes from the perspective that the practice is the main thing. In other words, let's say when we look at our relationship to God, you know, so we have one notion, one perspective, that our relationship is to submerge ourselves, yes, to cleave, to self-efface. That's one perspective, okay? The second perspective is to look at Yiddishkeit, which is more or less the conventional perspective. The perspective is that we are engaged in a ritualistic relationship with God. In other words, God, the halachic perspective, the halachic man, you know. We're looking at everything from the halachic man. The halachic man is learning God's Torah, which is the laws, and of course, Reb Chaim imbues that with the mystical understanding that this is a rise of a kutzu pikul echad in his way. And that Hagav, many times when you have the same language, a rise of a kutzu pikul echad. So the two schools of thought, the two perspectives could use it differently. Because the Nefesh HaChaim, when he says, he wants to say that the actual learning, the actual experience of learning is a Reis of Yisrael Chad. Of course, in when the Baal HaTanya uses it, a Reis of Yisrael Chad means that this is God. This is a means how we submerge ourselves within, you know, this experience that we just described before. However, when the Nefesh HaChaim, when he speaks about reality of Yiddishkeit, of course, the experience of Yiddishkeit, the idea of mitzvahs, the idea of Torah, is the idea is that we're actually being elevated by the fact of observing them, studying them. The actual study is important. This is really what the Eibishter wants from us. It's not like an act of mysticism and of engagement, as he said, against Dveikus. However, the mere learning is a form of Dveikus because it is a form of connection with God. So from that point of view, let me finish the thought. So from that point of view, he says, what is Torah Lishma? So Torah Lishma is not Dveikus. So Torah Lishma is Lishma Torah. So the most basic interpretation of that is the famous Rosh, that the Tulshama Torah means that your person is not supposed to learn for career, and is not supposed to learn for self-advancement. And but if he learns just for the proper understanding, like a non-mystical explanation of what Lishma is, a very halachic explanation of basic Lishma. This is basically the Nefesh HaChaim, coming from the perspective, as I said before, since the learning itself is the goal, and this is itself the purpose, so therefore Lishma is sufficient, at least the basic level, by engaging. However, the Nefesh HaChaim himself says that a person should from time to time stop, and he says that a similar thing that brought down in Tanya, that every hour he should stop and think about Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem and so on and so forth.
So, Reb Nachum, it's a fine difference, right? But it seems to me, you know, the outcome is very broad. In the Olam HaMaisa, I think it's made a very big difference. And tell me if you agree or disagree with this, okay?
Yeah.
When you look at Chassidim, when they learn, they'll put on their hat and their gartel and their and they won't learn without it because it's a type of dveikus, it's a type of tefillah, right?
Yes.
When you look at Chabad, even the whole kiruv, the kiruv movement of Chabad, etc., is as if Torah is about dveikus, well, there's a bigger dveikus now, which is to be machzir, all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael that are hoylech l'ibud and etc., all the But if you look at the Nefesh HaChaim, that Torah Lishma is in effect the greatest, and it's not because of Dveikus, but the Limud Torah L'Shem HaTorah. So then if it's not about Dveikus, you don't learn with a hat and a jacket on. You learn like you would at work, you know, with your shorts rolled up, arguing, and you don't leave the Beis Medrash for Kiruv, etc., because there is nothing greater than the Torah Lishma is in effect a cause for itself, is a raison d'etre of itself, and therefore, so it's a fine lumdisha chilek, but it's had a huge
and this is what you see really when you read both Svarim, Nefesh HaChaim and Tanya, that even though it conceptually they seem similar, and many people confuse they're even the same thing. But in the reality, the difference is huge. In other words, in the hierarchy of things and the result and the consequences is enormous. We're talking about like a different pecking order that was established there and established here. There's no question about it. The revolution, the Hasidic world is a revolution. And in some ways, the Nefesh HaChaim also was a revolution because in the literature world, since the Nefesh HaChaim, the preeminence of Torah became even stronger than it even existed in non-Hasidic circles. Like you would say the Chasam Sofer's world or in different, you know, the preeminence in the Lithuanian world of Torah, the Misnagdic view of Torah, you know, I don't know if it's a response also to Hasidus, but it even became stronger. And the language of the Nefesh HaChaim about Lishma, that every person should learn no matter what, you don't find it even in general moralistic literature.
Let me be myself, that the Lashon of the Rishonim, was Rashi and Brachas, says, what shalai lishma shalai al manas lekayim lishma is kedloim mit kedei lekayim. Lashon Rambam is the same thing. That the goal of lishma was that it should be lomoid al manas lasais, and Nefesh HaChaim elevated it even beyond that. It's just lomoid al manas lomoid in a way. So he took this and like you said, he made it sharper than it ever was before.
Correct. Indeed, as a response, he made it even sharper, and he in general, Nefesh HaChaim became. As a response, even though theoretically he agrees to all mystical ideas, which Nefesh HaChaim on one end is a very mystical sefer, on the other hand, in reality, it's a tremendous practical, down to earth, like very clear cut, you know, like just learn, and the Torah Lishma will take care of it, and if he doesn't even learn Lishma, you still have to respect him. It's a very strong language. As a matter of fact, I wrote once in an article that, interestingly enough, the Musar world of Reb Sholza Lanter was like an acquired way of response to the Nefesh HaChaim, you know? Not a continuity, but rather a response.
So tell me if the way I understand it, tell me if you think I'm understanding it correctly, that in Chassidus, the Torah is a form of Dveikus, and it's dveikus through a pnimius type of a dveikus. But according to the Nefesh HaChaim, the Limud HaTorah is a gilui betoicht bevises is lahayreis the gilui of the blueprint of the world betoicht the bria, and it is that Giloy that is the essence of the purpose of Talmud Torah.
Yes, I would say it's not it's quite accurate, yes. It reveals the Ratz Nashem, so to speak, of behavior in this world and the purpose of this world, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you before that Chabad world is so complicated that there is a whole literature of Chabad would say that the purpose of Torah is to be Megala Ratz Nashem and to be Megala Chochma to the world. You know, I'm just putting down things in a very essential level in these arguments that we're just having now, but it's indeed true. But the Baal HaTanya is very broad and very complicated and very, they're very dialectic, very all-inclusive. And you would indeed not disagree that anything is outside this world, you know. And somewhat the Nefesh HaChaim is also like that. It's like, even though he presents these cases very strongly, but he always goes back to the fact that, you know, you should nevertheless have an idea about Achdus Hashem and so on and so forth. So it's more complicated than the binary divisions, because that's theoretical. But in the reality, as we see, the reality, he created a different reality. The fact is,
right,
the Lithuanian world created the singular devotion to Torah, which is almost preeminent and almost superseding everything else. It's a singular devotion, it's a singular quest, you could see it clearly. And the Hasidic world, as you said before, indeed, there's many expressions of divine service, you know, from having a tish to having simcha to having, as you said, kiruv, to having everything else embodies God's presence and God's avodah and so on and so forth. So the hierarchy and the pecking order is totally different. And
well, Rav Nachum, it's been a big honor to have you on with us. Thank you so much for your divrei Torah.
Okay, bye.
Kol tov, good
job. We have the honor of having with us on the phone Rav Yitzchak Feldheim, one of the great Balei Machshava in America. He's the national lecturer for many years for Eish HaTorah when they needed to send somebody to college campuses to explain Yiddishkeit. They sent him Gateways. He was the Rav of Yardley, Pennsylvania for many years. Welcome, Rabbi Yitzchak.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav David. Pleasure to be here.
Rabbi Yitzchak, give us some insight as a Baal Machshava. What is the machlokes in your eyes of the Nefesh HaChaim and the Baal HaTanya in Torah Lishma? And how would that maybe play out in the way Hasidus developed, in the way the yeshivas developed, etc.
All right. There's two ways to approach this, I would say. You know, the first thing is that most people are aware of the machlekes, right? The way it's understood in the world, at least sometimes we hear it in yeshiva in different ways. We hear it in more sophisticated ways and less sophisticated ways. But we understand the machlekes is what is Torah Lishma, right? Is Torah Lishma that it's a means of being mizdaveg to the Borei Olam, it's l'shem shamayim, I want to be mekasher to Hashem, and that's understood to be the Chassidish Mahalach, the Mahalach of the Baal HaTanya. And then there's what's seen as the Lipish way, where people claim the Nefesh HaChaim says I've heard it. There's a little frustration that sometimes we hear it like that. Just learn, like don't worry about the Borei Olam. Just learn. Avad, if you look inside the Nefesh HaChaim, that's not what he says. What the Nefesh HaChaim is saying that it's l'shem haTorah, and it needs to be explained. What does that mean, l'shem haTorah? The two approaches, that it's l'shem Shemayim and l'shem haTorah. So the two things are like this. First of all, I think that both positions are misunderstood. To set it up as a simple thing, is it my cutting to Rabbeinu Shalom, or am I doing it for Torah itself, is missing the point on the Nefesh HaChaim and missing the point on the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya has, in different places, he writes totally different things. Taka in Tanya and Perek Hei, he says that it's, he sounds like he's saying that it's, that Lishma is Lakasher Nashay Lashem, that it's some kind of way of being Makasher to Hashem. But if you look in the end of Perek Dalet, he says much deeper things that you makasha to the Torah, that it's a way of experiencing Hashem through the Torah. If you learn him in in Taka in Hilchas Tama Torah. He has a Hilchas Tama Torah in Yerideya in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So over there in Perek Dalet, he says Taka straight out that Lishma is L'shem Shemayim. But if you look at the Baal HaTanya in Likutei Torah on Parsha Shlach, over there he sounds mamish like the Nefesh HaChaim. He says that it's L'shem HaTorah itself. So to take a nitpick, to take a few words of the Baal HaTanya and make it sound like that it's just the mice of connecting to the Rabbeinu Shalom, as I think simplifying his position. And zikr, the way that the Nefesh HaChaim is understood, that it's L'shem HaTorah, that it's just to learn Torah, is it needs beer. Because first of all, the Goyin in Tikkunei Zohar is a famous Goyin. The Goyin says, what is Torah Lishma? And the Goyin is Mazbe, Torah Lishma is Al Menas Lasois. Now, it's very hard to imagine that the Nefesh HaChaim is Dingzach with the Goyin. Maybe he does Dingzach with the Goyin on details and etlicha things, maybe. But to say that the Nefesh HaChaim is Dingzach with the Goyin on this Yisoid of all of Litvish thought of what Talmud Torah is Kamat not Shayach to say. So you have to understand that the Nefesh HaChaim's explanation that Torah Lishma is L'shem HaTorah as some kind of way of beer of what the Goyin is saying in Al Menas Lasois. And it might sound difficult to hear such a thing, but there's tons of svarim like this. You look, the Nefesh HaChaim's Einikol was the Netziv. So Netziv is the authority in what the Nefesh HaChaim held. He was the Rashi B'Taka in Voloshin, and he spends mamash in the whole end of Parshas Achrei Mois, in the beginning of Kedoshim. It must be 5-6 times. He's Meirich, and every time the Pasuk says that the Chukaisai Tishmairu Lasois Aisam. Every time it says the word Lasois, he's Meirich to explain what Lasois means. And he's really being Mazbir what the Nefesh HaChaim holds and what the Goyin holds ultimately. And he explains that Lasois is not to learn the Torah Kedei to know what to do. But it's to learn the Torah. Lasois means Lamaisa. To learn the Torah to take it seriously as a real guidebook to life, as a havana of what we're supposed to be doing, why are we doing it, to see the Torah as mamish emes la mito negea to life. So he's being masber really what the Nefesh HaChaim says, l'shem haTorah, it means is to see the Torah as the secret of life, as the meaning of life, as that is, makes the whole Bria valid. Which ultimately, we're going to see, I want to show you ultimately that that's the same Mahalach as the Baal HaTanya. They're using different words. So that's the Nekuda number one. Nekuda number one is the Machlaikas is not such a Machlaikas. They're not saying what everybody thinks they're saying. Nekuda number two is that the way the world normally understands the Machlaikas of Hasidim and Misnagim, the Lifish Mahalach, the Hasidish Mahalach, and this Machlaikas, the way they understand this, are not possible to coexist. Because the positions that everyone assumes the Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim have are the opposite of the positions they normally have in Machshava. Meaning like this, the way we understand the Shoyrish of the Machloikas of the Goyin and the Baal HaTanya is an understanding of what does it mean that Kvoidoi Molei Oilam? The Baal HaTanya, they want to say, learns that Kvoidoi Molei Oilam means that every single thing in the world is a chelik l'kaimal, and that the whole Bria is really an experience of Elikos. And the Goyin holds that doesn't mean Maisa, that the world is just HaKadosh Baruch HaShkocha, he's Mashkiach on the world. But Avada, the world that we see is not Elikos Mamish, it's a Bria. And there's a cutoff between Elikos and the Bria. And the Bria is a Dover Nifrod. It's Takas Hashkoskosoi, HaKadosh Baruch created it, he controls it, he makes it, but it's different. So this is normally the difference of Hasidus and Nifl. Hasidus looks at the world as everything's Kaddish, everything's Elikos, everything's the same experience in the Bore Olam. And the Litvish look at the world as that there's Elikos, and then there's Bria. Bria's not Mamish Elikos. So if you follow that Mahalach, then really the machlokes between in Talmud Torah should be mamish fakert. If the Hasidim hold that the world is mamish aleikos, so they should not need to be makasher to the Rabbeinu Sholem that Torah Lishma would be a kesher with Hashem, a dveikas to the Rabbeinu Sholem alein. Because you should be able to be makasha to the Bara Olam through the Bria. You should learn Peya and Demai and Shorsha Nogach and these things. Since the world is Kadosh, you should be able to experience the Lishma of Torah as in the Torah itself, as it says it, without needing to break from the Torah and go back to have a kesher with the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. But you would think that the yeshivish world would say fakir. They would say that since the world is a davar nifra, the Torah, that's the hanhaga of the world, is not the mamish experience of elikos. The real elikos is you have to translate everything to the terms of the Borei Olam himself, and to be nisdavik, you have to be one with the Rabbeinu Shloim. So according to the normal way that we understand the machlekes, the positions of the Baal HaTanya and Nefesh HaChaim should have been reversed. So it's a very stark araya that the way we understand the machlekes is not the machlekes. So two points. From their own writings, it's not the way. It's not as simplistic as everyone's making it out to be. And secondly, from their hashkafas achayim, it's impossible to learn it that one is saying learn Torah and one is saying experience the Borei Olam. All right. So let me tell you what I think the machlekes really is. And I want to say this also. I don't think the machlekes is a machlekes between the Baal HaTanya and the goyin or the Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim. I think that it's very shayach. They say almost very similar things. But there is a machlekes. There are people who say differently. The Nefesh HaChaim is definitely writing against a certain daya. Maybe it's a daya of the Tzavos Rivash. Maybe it's a Sefer Yoshe Divrei Emes. There's different opinions of, but the zikr is a mindset that the Nefesh HaChaim is speaking against.
Rabbi Feldheim, I mean, my Kabbalah was that the Nefesh HaChaim was written against the Sefer Tanya, in other words, as a response to the Sefer Tanya.
It's written as a response to certain trends in Hasidic thought. What the Baal HaTanya is saying is sometimes a little bit elusive. It's sort of he's masber whole different positions. Like I just showed you over here in Torah Lishma.
Okay, so Rabbi Feldheim, so how do you understand the machlekes?
So this machlekes. So here's how I see the machlekes. It's a machlekes like this. That the normal way that people understood always the idea of the Rabbeinu Shalom and the world is that the Hashem, we call Hashem the Echad. Hashem's an Echad. And the opposite of Echad is Pirud. So we normally see the world as an Echad, and then there's multiplicity. And different Mishalom, you know, Hashem is silence, and the world is noise then. And Hashem, if Hashem is one, the world is Pirud. Or Hashem is white light, and the world is all the different colors, the rainbow. If you dahere the picture that Hashem is one and the world is division, so how do you get to experience Hashem? So the natural way to approach dveikus, experiencing Hashem, is to negate the pirud, is to experience the achdus, is to silence the noise, to bleach the colors. You see, if Hashem is white, if Hashem is silence, if Hashem is one, and there's pirud, so we have to get rid of the pirud. So the entire world as we see it is seen as an obstacle course. It's a hester panov, and we have to go back to the aura of Hashem. So this is the way everyone normally talks about the Bayreum. And this is what this approach to Hashem, it's called hispatlus. Yeah, bittel. You have to nevatel yourself. If Hashem is the only real thing, then all the protim are terrible and geferlich, and therefore you have to be mevatel the protim. And if you do bittel, then you become part of their Borei Olam, and you experience the shleimus, and that's called dveikus. So normally the process of coming to Hashem is a process of bittel shemevi lidei dveikus. Now, if that's the case, so then Talmud Torah would be a sort of a problem to this dveikus. It's affirming your zich, using your moyech, using your mind. It's shayach gaiva and self and analytics. So this is the Nefesh HaChaim is speaking against this mindset that the way to get to the Borei Olam is to be vatal yourself, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this white light, and we have to bleach all the colors and silence all the noises and get rid of all the pirut. And then it makes sense that dveikus is straight to Rabbeinu Shalom. Torah Lishma is to see the Torah as some like Tehillim, as a means to get into a groove and to experience Hashem and to feel swallowed up by an aura of Hashem, and I should lose myself in the aura of Hashem. So this is the one position. This could be the position of the Rambam. There are people who hold like this. Rambam might also, you know, people not so simple that he was a pure chayker. But it's zikhir the position of the philosophers, of the chaykerim. The chaykerim saw Hashem as this white, infinite echad, this simple echad haposhet, and the way to get echad haposhet is to erase yourself. And to erase yourself means that Torah is not, it's not the Torah that you're being nistabit to, it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu duch the Torah, you're getting to the white light, the period has no value. But there's a whole other way to understand the Rebbeinu Shalom. This is a huge chiddush, but when this is the hesber of the way we see the world, is that there's a third option. Although it might sound like there's only two options, echod or pirud, silence or noise, there's a third option. And you know what the third option is? The third option is music. Is you don't get rid of the noise, you bring in the conductor, and he gets the violin, the trumpet, and the tuba to all play tzazamin. There's a mahalach of creating a echod. There's a different version of echod. There's one version of echod called white light. And there's another version of echod, which is not the rainbow, but it's the tziruf of the colors into a symphony. It's unity and harmony. Unity is white. Unity is silence. Harmony is music. Kisvu lochem es hashira hazois. Torah is not silence. Torah is the shira. Memela, what we're doing in Torah is we're taking all the Pratei Abriya and we're understanding the entire world, and everything in the Bria is taka pieces. It's puzzle pieces. And first you flip over the pieces, you put them all on the colored side, and then you try and massage them into the puzzle. You create the symphony, the Shira Hazois. This is the understanding of the Shem HaTorah, that the Torah itself is the experience of Elikos. It's not two different things, that there's a dveikus in Hashem that comes through bittul, and then there's the knowledge of Torah, which is a zich. It's the knowledge of Torah is an experience of Rebbeinu Shalom, not the white light silence of Rebbeinu Shalom. But this newer this understanding of the Rebbeinu Shalom of the Shira Hazois, of Shira as opposed to silence. When you are ma'achid, all the pieces, and this is the Vayoimahu Yehashem Echad, and this is the Kol HaTorah Kula, is to be ma'achid everything, but not the echad of white, but the echad of a symphony. And that changes everything. And this is taka, if you look in the Perek Dalet in the Tanya, and you look and you read all through the Nefesh HaChayim, he explains, he uses the word dveikus constantly. Dveikus is part of it. It's not the simple dveikus that the Chaykrim want to talk about. Hashem is white light, and negate yourself, bittul. It's the opposite. The way you get to this dveikus is kiyum. Everyone has to mamish be their lichtiger self. And when everyone, you're your violin and you're your trumpet and every prat perfects its prat, then the sakin oilam malcho shakin, that's the sound of kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. When every prat in the bria knows that it's kulam ahuvim, kulam brurim, kulam giboirim, then you know what happens? Then every prat in the bria is noisnim rishus zelozeh. When I'm being me, I allow you to be you. And I'm mekavlin omach shemayim zemizeh. When I see who you are, I learn my limits and I learn who I am. And that is when I'm me, and then you could be you. And when you're you, I could be me. And together, all of us, the aim of the year, kulam benachas, right? We all say, kodesh, kodesh, that's the sound of the bria. That's the kisul kam hashira azois, and that's Torah. Torah is such a terrible thing to make this machloikas that is it l'shem haTorah or l'shem haBayri? Torah haste the Bayri. Kudsha brichu v'yis v'yraisa chadhu. We say all these words, but we don't make the connection that they actually mean what they sound like. Torah and their Rebbeinu Shalom taka are echad. The world is the adavim mefurad, but the experience of the achdus of the boy of the bria, that is elikos. The bria's taka elik. The bria's, it's all protein. But you're not experiencing, Hashem is not the pieces. Hashem is the experience of Echad. There's two versions of Echad. There's music and there's silence. And Torah is the experience of music, and the Melech is no machlekes. The Baal Tanya, there are people who say that the way to get to the Borei Olam is negation of self. And listen, to be honest, the Tanya says a lot of different things. The Tanya is full of bittul. It's always talking about bittul. So a little bit, you have to wonder if he's somewhere in the middle. You know, but I would like to think that the Tanya's bittul the same as the Litvisha bittul, that it's a bittul that I am not everything. I am just a makir es mekoimi. The Anova, the Ramban, it's all about Anova, but it's not about bittul. It's about makiris mekaimcha. Don't be more than yourself. If everyone will be their instrument, there will be music, and that music is as beautiful as the whiteness. And the emes is it's more beautiful than whiteness. Because this is a haisafa. That whiteness, if you look at that picture of Hashem, that Hashem is Echad, then what you have to do to get to Echad is to be nispatel yourself. So it's impossible to experience that Echad. There's no such thing as experiencing the white light. Because in order for me to experience the Echad, I have to have me and Echad. You can't have me and Echad. That's what it means, lo yirani odem v'chai. You can't daher that kind of Echad and live. Then you'll disappear. You don't exist. If you're the noise and Hashem's the silence, when you get rid of yourself, the noise is gone. The noise can't experience the silence. If I'm a color, I bleach the colors and I have white, there's no me. But when it's a symphony, then all the instruments exist. In harmony, the pratim endure. And now every prat can experience the Borei Olam. In the Mahalach of, and this is what the Goyim means, that lasos, that Torah is real. It's the experience of Torah. It's not a theoretical abstract book. It is it's the connection of the whole Bria. It's to learn the Torah not as philosophy, not as, to learn the Torah as lemaisa. Lasos means lemaisa. It's real. And you experience the Bria in the music. The emes is all this, it sounds vild. It's a posuk. The posuk says, on Har Sinai, the Torah gets, the closest the Torah ever gets to defining the Borei Olam. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, Vayiru Eselekei Yisroel, V'sachas Raglov Kamasa Livnas HaSafir, U'ke'etzem HaShemayim L'Toyar. They saw the Rebbeinu Shalom, and below his feet was like sapphire brickwork, and it was like the essence of the heavens in its purity. So what is sapphire brickwork? Sapphire is a blue stone. And sapphire brickwork is millions of blue stones lined up in a wall. Brickwork is staggered bricks. You have a wall. So what Klal Yisrael saw was below Hashem's feet was a wall of millions of blue bricks. But they saw one additional thing. Ke'etzem Hashemayim L'Toyar. It was like the essence of the heavens in its purity. What does that mean? That the essence of the heavens is also blue. But it's a different blue. It's a monolithic Echad blue. It's the silence blue. It's the unity blue. What happened on Har Sinai was Klal Yisrael had a new Hakara. That the world is lived, the Rebbeinu Shalom is not only Etzem Shemayim, it's Livnas HaSafir, it's harmony, not only unity. And harmony is Ke'etzem HaShemayim, there's nothing lost. The Livnas HaSafir is the experience of all the Pratim. What Klal Yisrael saw in Har Sinai was every problem, Yakol HaTorah Kula, the whole thing in an Achdus. They saw harmony, and they discovered that harmony is a new version of Echad. And it's as good as unity. Unity and harmony is ke'etzem hashemayim l'toyar. There's nothing lost. They're both everything tzamen. White is everything tzamen, and the symphony is everything tzamen. But there's two nafkaminas, so beautiful. If the nafkamina is that if you want to experience white light, lo yirani od mecha, you disappear. When Klal Yisrael saw the Livnas HaSafir, it says, Latzile b'nei Yisrael lo yisholech ez yodoy. To the Yidden who saw this Mara, they didn't disappear. You were able to experience Elikos in harmony. You continued to exist even in the harmony. And last, the Avodas HaChayim now is no longer bittel, negating yourself. It's no longer tzoim. It's no longer fasting. It's no longer tiyuprushim me'isha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, shuvu lochem lo aleichem. The way you experience harmony is not by bittel, by bleach, not by silencing your koilos, but by harmonizing all of the koilos and this composite unity. That's called Livnas HaSafir. Livnas HaSafir is Matan Torah. Torah haste an experience of Elikos. It's the Dveikos in HaKadosh Baruch Hu where you are Taka Doivik. You're not Nisbatel to him, you're Doivik. You cleave to him. You exist as a chelek of the Rebbeinu Shalom, a part of the symphony. And the Raya, I'll show you the Raya that the Baal HaTanya and the Goyim both see. I think this is the Mokar for the whole Machloikas, and it's not really Machloikas. I'll end with this. This is the last Nakuda. Is that if you look, the Pasuk says this thing called Livnas HaSafir, it takes place where? It's Tachas Raglov. Vayiru Eselekei Yisrael, V'sachas Raglov. What's Taichver to Sachas Raglov? Is Taichver to Sachas Raglov under his feet, beneath his feet, or is it the tachas raglav means the bottom of his feet? Tachas means the bottom, mitachtis ahar or takas ahar. Is it the bottom of Hashem's feet or below Hashem's feet? My nafka mina, the question is this thing called livnas asafir, is it a chelek eleka? Is it part of the Rabbeinu Shalom? That's what tachas raglav means. Tachas raglav means it's a piece of the Rabbeinu. It's the lowest part of Hashem. Or if it's below his feet, then it's not Hashem. It's the highest thing, the highest gashmi, the highest thing. It's not Hashem. Does tachas raglav mean the lowest part of Elikus or the highest part of not Elikus? And they both mashma from it. And the teretz is, it doesn't mean two things. Tachas only means one thing. What it means is the world is, it's not dots, it's a curve. The bottom of his feet is the top of the world. It's hainu hach, it's just a matter of perspective. The Gaon and the Balatanya are both describing the exact same maimed. It's called tachas raglav. One guy sees it as under his feet, one guy says it's bottom. It's, but it's one word, it's tachas. They're both describing the place where the Bria and the Bayre Oilam meet. That's called Tachas Raglav, and it's one curve. The Bria is the experience, could be the Achdus HaBria, not the Bria itself. The Achdus HaBria, the Livnas HaSafir, is the experience of Elikos. That's called Tachas Raglav, and that makes Sholem. And the Nela, the Dveikus to the Bayre, and the Talmud Torah, L'Shem HaTorah, is the Zelba thing. No one's arguing, it's the same thing. Those who argue, there are shitas that you have to be in a spotle yourself, but this is not the Mesoira from the Talmidei Arizal that all of Klal Yisrael follows. The Talmidei Goyim, the Talmidei Abesh, the Sardim. We all look at the world as this experience of Livnas HaSafir. That's why the Luchais came down with two Evan Safir, a reminder what Klal Yisrael saw. They saw for one moment how every prop in the entire Bria, all of history, all of the world, all the prop, and everything fit perfectly in this unbelievable Mara. Thus haste, kol mash at Talmud Vosik Osel Lizchadish. We talk about how the Rabbeinu Shalom with the same Mishalom we talk about the Torah. Because the Torah and the Rabbeinu Shalom is both, Livnas HaSafir is the experience of both. And that's that, and that's the shalom of this machlokes.
Rabbi Yitzchak, thank you for your beautiful pshat and original pshat in the machlokes between the Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim. It's an honor having you on with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Hadil Torah Ladira. Continue to do your Melechus HaKodesh.
Thank you. Bye bye.
We have the honor of having with us on the phone Harav Shalom Greenstein. He's the Rosh Bezdin of the Beis Hayra Birchas Asher, which has 15 Moira Hayra. They answer shilas 20 up to 24 hours a day. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's 718-215-1666, 15 Talmidei Chachamim. And I imagine it's in Borough Park where they answer shilas. He's the Rosh Bezdin. He's also the Rav of Chayshin Mishpat in Babov. And welcome. Yeah, welcome, Reb Shulam.
Okay, I just want to make one comment. It's Baba 45, which is different than Baba itself.
Reb Shulam, I appreciate. I'm not such an expert in Baba history, but I'll take your word for it. Okay.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Reb Shulam, let me ask you a question. What is the what is your understanding as a very chashiva, you know, Talmud Chacham, Abbezdin, Meirehira, and Ovid Hashem, of the Machlokes between the Baal HaTanya, and I mentioned him first because he wrote the Sefer first, he was older, he died I think 30 or 40 years before the Nefesh HaChaim, and the Nefesh HaChaim in Torah Lishma.
Okay, so let me give a short introduction, and I think what we'll see is that between what Chassidim looked at Torah Lishma and what the Nefesh HaChaim and Shah Dalet spoke about Torah Lishma, it's not that much of a difference. But let me start with that. There's a Braisa in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, which is not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, and the Braisa is a Rameya said, Kol Oisik v'Torah Lishma Zoyech L'Dvorim Harba. Now, Rameya doesn't define what Torah Lishma is. We don't have a definition at this point. We know what Torah Shaloi Lishma is. We find in Tosfos, in many places in Shas, where Tosfos differentiates between Kovod, which is the Shaloi Lishma Banishkeferlach, and Lakanta, which is Toif Shaloi Shaloi Nivra. Now, There is a Gemara, however, Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Samach Beis, which teaches Rab Lezer, Rab Tzodik, Oyma, Asay, Devorim, L'Shem, Po'olam, V'daber Behem, L'Shmom. Speak about these things, L'Shmo. Now, what's the Rosh, which is taka quoted by Rab Chaim V'Lozhner, the Rosh says, Kol Diburcha, Masacha, B'divetoyre, Ev, all your word Torah, it should be L'Shem HaTorah. What does the Shema Torah mean? Leida, lehoven, lehoisev, lekach, to know, to understand, to add, to be mefalpa, loy lekanta, ulezgar. So he mentioned lekanta, ulezgar, which is shaloi, lishma. So it seems that the Rosh is interpreting, what is Torah, shaloi, what is Torah, lishma? Lishem Torah, you learn Torah. When you learn, you concentrate, you mefalpa, you mechadish, that's Torah lishma. But that's the Rosh. If you look in the Ran, in the Dorim also, Daf Pei Aleph, where the Gemara says, Ma Avda Orat HaShalei Baruch Hu Batoyer Tchila, the Ran brings a famous Rabbeinu Yoina, and Rabbeinu Yoina says, what's Pshat in Gemara HaShalei Baruch Hu Batoyer? They didn't make a bracha, what's so terrible? He says they were punished because they were not machshiv. The Torah was not choshiv by them, and they didn't learn it lishmo. It seems to be a little bit different, because the Rosh is just saying, if you learn Torah, you ma'abit Torah, whatever, you mechadish, that's lishma. But here, Rosh is saying, no, even they learned, but they didn't learn lishma. So that's a bit of a different interpretation of lishma, but the Rosh doesn't, but the Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't tell us what this is. The Bach, there's a famous Bach in Arachayim, Simen Mem Zayin, Hilchus Birchus HaTorah, takes a step further. He said, and it's an Arichus in the Bach, I'm not going to quote the whole Bach. He says, Lo niskavnu, they weren't mechavnu, his atzem, il is dabek, bikidushas, viruchnias haTorah. They were not mechavnu when they learned to be dovek in the Torah, il hamshich hashchina lemata bo'orat. So to be mamshich with their learning, to be mamshich the shchina lemata bo'orat. It's not a shavot, this is a Bach. So obviously that's a different interpretation of Torah lishma. It seems to me that the Makor is a Zoya. In Zoya it says, Kol inin the mishtadlim b'raise, the Zoya is in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, mizdapkim bei b'kodesh baruch hu. If you learn lishma, you mishtadl, you become dovik, you should become dovik, and the Rebbeinu Shlom. Actually, the Maral in Pirkei Avos and Sefer Derechaim, and when he talks about this b'raise, he says, the Brisa says, Zhinikra Reya, one of the things that you zoicha when you learn Torah Lishma, you call it Reya to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is a mi shaloim a Torah Lishma hina yesh loi kishur it dveikus im Hashem Yisburach, Hashem Yisburach im dveikus. Now let's go into what the Avos HaChassidus, the early masters that they quote, taught us regarding Torah Lishma. Now, I think it essentially consists of four components. What's the definition of Torah Lishma? One, how to achieve Torah Lishma. The active, actually, how do you acquire learning Lishma and the purpose of learning Lishma. These are four different components, whatever, besides the fact we have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, the definition of Torah Lishma based on the Avos HaChassidus is brought down in Yosha Divrei Emes, which was written by Rav Feivish Sbarza, who brought this down, B'Shem Reb Mendel Premishlana, who was a heard us in the Maggid, for the Shema Bal Shem Tov. So it goes to early Makar. And they say, what's Torah Lishma? Lizdabek La Hashem Yisburach B'dveikis, in other words, B'dveikis HaBoira Yisburach Shemoi. And the Tanya. Now let's get to the Tanya. One of the Mahalchim, you have to remember, the Tanya is it's a very complex subject, but the Tanya says a few different places, a few different things. But this he says in Perek Mem Aleph, he says, V'zois tia kavanosoi ba'esik ha-toyre, v'zafsheboi nafsho helikis. It should be medavik, his nefesh, in the Torah, in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, dveikis. Contrary to what Reb Chaim V'Lozhner saying, but I'm sure it's not so simple, we'll get to that in a minute, when Reb Chaim says, if they're learning just for dveikus, that's not what Torah is about. Torah is just to learn, to whatever, to learn Torah, like the Rosh says, that's Torah. But here they're saying very specifically, the definition of Torah Lishma is dveikus. Now, also there's another definition that's brought down, the Avos HaChassidus, which is brought down in the Moir Shomesh, who was supposedly the chief, one of the main forum of Chassidim, and he talks or whatever, and he says, and it's also the Degel, who was a grandson of Baal Shem, brings the B'Shem of Baal Shem Tov, whatever, is he has to kishaloimet. He should, from Baal Shem it says, whatever, a very a simple Haina L'Shem HaTeva V'Ois Atzmai builds this on the Arizal. You learn L'Shem, the words of the Torah. What does that mean? The Merav Shumish elaborates. Kishaloimed L'Shmo in Medavik Atzmai Ruchoi in the Shmusai V'Ois HaTeva. You have to become Dovik in the Torah. You have to become a part. You and you and the Oishis HaTorah should be Makusha one with the other. According to that, that is Torah Lishma. According to that, Mahalach. Now, how do you achieve Torah Lishma? What's the goal? How do you get it? You have to learn B'Vechila Rechima. You have to learn Mahava V'Yira. As Oish Brengta told us, B'Shem HaBal Shem in Akdoma, as Oish Tate Yisoy the Avoida from the Slonema, who essentially was a sefer that was written after the Nefesh HaChaim to present the Chassidish HaMahalach. Also, however, if you look in Nefesh HaChaim, you look in Perek Heim Shadalit, and if you pay a hey, Perek Vov, etc., he also says, you can't learn without the Havah, without Yerushimayim. And you should be misboinen before you learn in Yerushimayim, 100%. So the, essentially, as far as that, there's no conflict between the Nefesh HaChaim and the Chassidish HaMahalach. Now, how do you acquire Torah Lishma? How do you acquire it? So the Emes is in Tanya, in Perek Hei, and it says like this, Lishma Haina Lakasha Nafsha Lashem Ayidei Hasuga HaTorah. You have to learn Torah. You have to be Masik Torah. You have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. He says, B'yidiyah V'iyan HaTorah. You got to learn. You have to learn Bekiyas, you have to learn Havona, Yediyas, Iyan HaTorah. And it brings it in the name of Darizal in Kriya Tzchayim. And he said, and actually, the Chabad say that there is a Ksav Yad of the Baal HaTanya, which was not the final product that he printed in Tanya. And over there he says a bit differently. Over there he says, Toyu Lishma. Haina Kidela Hasiga. What's Torah Lishma? How do you acquire Torah Lishma? You masik Torah. Malat, Maharavit. I'm a lad to Maharavit. And if you look in Eshri Shechayim in the same place, he says the same thing. Now, what was the purpose of learning Lishma? So if you look in Maranayim, which was also one of the classical forms of Chassidus, the Chernobyl Magid, who was a Talmud, essentially he was by the Baal Shem Tov, and he writes in Parshas Vayetze, L'shem Torah, she Torah loy derech Hashem. The Torah should teach you the derech Hashem. Or the Pinchas of Korotel is also by the Baal Shem. Torah l'shma k'day l'kayma. To me, I'm calm the Torah. So let me tell you something. Nefesh HaChaim says the same thing. If you look in Nefesh HaChaim, and you look in Shar Aleph, Perek Chof Aleph, he says, she b'shas iskoy b'Torah l'shma, what is l'shma l'kayim kol HaTorah. Torah l'shma, yes, you have to learn. But you have to learn to be Makayim. So essentially the purpose of learning Lishma is there's no difference, in my opinion, between the Chassidish Mahalach and the Mahalach of Rav Chaim Volozhin. I think Rav Chaim Volozhin essentially was upset because I think Rav Chaim Volozhin was upset because some Chassidim, they twisted around and they were busy with Dveikis. But that's not the true Chassidish Mahalach. In fact, I'll tell you a very interesting thing. The Egel Tal, if you look at the Akdom of the Egel Tal, who was a Sochet Shev Rebbe, who was a son of the Kotzka, and he talks about, and it's one of the deepest forms on Hilchas Shabbos, and I'll tell you something, I learned by literature Rosh Yeshivas, and my Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Mendel Zaks, who was a son of the Chofetz Chaim, when I once spoke to him about the Egel Tal, he told me, he says, listen, the Egel Tal is the Feld Marshal in Hilchas Shabbos. He's the field marshal. In other words, he is the chief when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos. So in Lomdus, and the town writes, whatever, that don't think that you learn with Simcha and Tanik, that's not learning Lishma. People think that if you learn Lishma, you have to learn tricky, you don't have enough in the Torah. On the contrary, he says, Haloimed L'shem Mitzvah Mis'arek B'limudah. You have enough, you have Gishmak. Hare is a limit Lishma, V'kuloi Kodesh. It's Kuloi Kodesh. Now, I want to tell, as far as Chabad is concerned, there's different mahalchim in the Tanya, not in Tanya itself maybe, but Likutei Torah, where he says Torah l'shma, l'shem ha-Torah atzma, and the later Rebbe's Chabad said that to be mamshir, the Torah in sof b'Torah. It's a very, very deep concept. I don't think there's no forum for this right now. But I want to end with something, one thing. There's a very interesting word. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in Nefesh HaChaim, when you learn, yes, first you have to learn with a certain dveikus, but once you start learning, you forget about dveikus. Harav in the Torah. The same Mahalach state in Chassidus HaSforum. There's a Sefer Sifrei Tzadikim, Rav Pinchas Volodinovitzer, who was a Talmud of the Oy of Yisrael of Apta. He brings this Meshem, this Lachiv HaMagid, who is by the Baal Shem Tov, whatever, and it says in Chazal, Kol HaShoy Chayach Dova Echad Min Mishnusay, Mishchai Ben Nafshay. Yochel HaFil HaTokvel of Mishnusay? So no, if you're in Tishkach, whatever. He teaches like this. Kol HaShoy Chayach Dova Echad means the Beshefet, Dova Echad. The Baal Shem is Echad Yochel HaMiyuchad. If you forget about the Beshefet when you're learning Torah, Mishchai Ben Nafshay. Yochel HaFil HaTokvel of Mishnusay, Beshas, you're learning? When you're learning over there, then you're going to have to remember the Beshefet? No. When you're learning, that's in this learning. And when you, before you learn, just like it says in Nefesh HaChaim, 100%, the same thing it says in Nefesh HaChaim. When you start to learn, then you have to understand, who are you learning? What's this? It's the Rebbeinu Shlomo's Torah. And he brings another taich over there. I'll end with this taich. He says, Hanifte mechaveiro, ha'yifte memeneo, metoich dva halucha. The Yomorim Bruchas. Is hanifte mechaveroi, the chaveroi met the Eibishter, whatever is this, chsidish mahalach, al yifte memenu, you shouldn't be put in the Rebbeinu Shlomo, you shouldn't forget him, elementos dva halucha. When you're learning a dva halucha, forget about it. Then, obenzin the ktsois, the famous words of chsidish, one of chsidish rabbis, one of gedolim, sat by the entire, and in the middle of the entire, one of the rabbunim goes, oi, vay Rebbeinu Shloilam, he goes, Rabbi Yid, now
by the Sanzara, I think the story is by the Sanzara, right?
No, I think so, yes. So I guess in the entire, it's a guess in the Rebbeinu Shloimeh, in the Hob and Zin, them, Kitzos. And if you look in the Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalet, Perek Yud, he says, B'shas ha'esik ve'im b'toyah v'adai she'in tzorech oz ve'inyin ha'dveikis klal. In other words, when you're learning Torah, forget about dveikis. Before you start, if you look at the earlier program, yes, then you should be oisig and dveikis. So I think that Reb Chaim Volozhiner was only mechulik in this prat that he felt that chassidim maybe whatever took this and twisted it around to say, well, I have to learn, and like he says in the beginning of Shah Dalit, when I have to learn bedveikis, but if I don't learn bedveikis, forget it about it. I'm not learning. But that is not the true chassidish mahalach. The true chassidish mahalach, as you see in the early avos chassidus, is not very far removed from Chaim Volozhiner. I don't think there's a great machloikis here.
Rabbi Greenstein, Reb Shulam, it's always an honor to talk to you and to hear the Hislavist way you say over the very Torah.
Shkoyach.
Kol tov.
Nice to speak to you.
Kol tov, I got you.